Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Yan Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Then press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Yan page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
Sure, it's Friday night, but that is no reason not to tune in to NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time with Robert the Infidel Garding. Being around since 2007, we patriots have watched as the left and many on the right have done nothing to stop what is going on to destroy our great nation. Ideas abound with our society, but most are horrible at best. But there are good ideas out there if you know where to look. Join us every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for a dose of reality from behind the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. That's NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday evenings, where you can call in at 646-478-5284 and give your solutions to what is ailing this country.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
All right, everybody. It is Sunday once again, and you are tuned in to the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne show. Looks like we have a few people that have made their way into the chat room. Joseph Gibson, Mike, Boyd just showed up. Mr. Clark is in the chat room. So people are starting to funnel in. We got a number in the switchboard, but not raising their hand yet. So yeah, if you want to call in and join me, feel free to do so, 563-999-3698. I'm hoping that Robert, Conservative Nation Media, shows up, because I have a clip that I want to play that has to do with New Mexico. So if he joins us, hopefully I can play that clip in a little bit. since that's his neck of the woods. Let's see. So what fun stuff is there to talk about? Well, we can start with Iowa. There was a GOP debate in Iowa between DeSantis and Haley. Maybe a lot of people weren't aware of that. Wouldn't surprise me because it barely got any attention because all eyes were on Trump's town hall. And DeSantis and Haley did nothing but attack each other, apparently. I haven't even watched it yet. I've intended to watch it, but I haven't watched it yet. Just because I want to, you know, I have a sick satisfaction for watching DeSantis and Haley, you know, fling their crap at each other and see where it lands, kind of a thing. So, yeah, and winter obviously is here. I opened up the show with playing Steve Miller Band, Wintertime. I felt that was an appropriate song to start the show with today. And then what you heard before that was a groovy little clip from 1965. 1965, If I Were the Devil by Paul Harvey. Boy, how, you know, now we fast forward to 2024, and boy, do we see how everything that he said has come to pass, plus some, right? So stumbled upon that, and I was like, hey, yeah, that would be a good one to play at the start of the show as well. Here we are. So, yeah, anyway, moving on. It's winter time. It's cold here in Oregon as well. Winter has arrived. Everywhere, I think, winter has arrived. And so we're all kind of sitting around. We're cold. Just trying to keep warm, snuggle up in the blanket. What else do we have? What better do we have, you know, to do tonight? Other, since we're all at home anyways, just trying to stay warm. Or if you're not at home, you're indoors somewhere just trying to stay warm. So, yeah, let's keep each other warm tonight, keep the conversation flowing once I get done with my little monologue here. And as I go through some of the topics that we could discuss, but as usual, I'm sure we won't discuss any of the stuff that I bring up. Anyway, so Biden economy. The Biden economy is doing so great, y'all. It's doing just fantastic. Auto insurance rate increased. Have you all noticed your auto insurance rates going up? I did. 2023 gave us an 18% increase in bankruptcies, and with more on the way. Inflation increased 0.3%. So in 2023, it increased a total of 3.4%. And I know PGE, I know a lot of other places, electric and gas rates are going up. Oh, goody, goody. And the food prices continue to be outrageous at the grocery stores. But the economy's doing so wonderful, you guys. We absolutely have to believe Biden that the economy's so great. And here's a little bit of a tidbit I came across. The Federal Reserve, you all know how much I love the Federal Reserve. Their expenses exceeded their earnings in 2023 by $114 billion. I found that interesting. So even the Federal Reserve can't stick to a budget. Their expenses are more than what they're bringing in, even with the rate increases, you know, interest rate increases and stuff, they still operated at a loss of $114 billion. Ouch. Poor Federal Reserve. We should feel bad for them. We got fraudy Fauci. He slipped up. He admitted that social distancing mandates were not based on science. Who's actually shocked by that? We all knew that anyway. But Fraudy apparently slipped up and admitted to that fact finally.
that it just sort of happened, he said. It just sort of happened that way, that all the social distancing mandates came to be. He was innocent of it all, right? But yeah, not based on science. We all knew it. But yet people got in fights at stores, you know. Oh my God, you're not on the X. Oh my God, you're not following the arrows. People will get in fights about that. You're going to make me sick because somehow 6 feet is the magic number. Nobody understood why they were willing to get in fights over it. Let's see. Also in the news, I saw that Melania Trump, she lost her mother. So my condolences go out to Melania for the loss of her mother. I feel for her. I can't imagine. I don't want to imagine life without my mother. I'm hoping that my mother lives for a long, long time to come so that I don't have to experience what it feels like to lose your mother. So I had to definitely bring that up tonight. Then in other news, more in my area, I'm in Oregon, but Washington State is considering putting more sobriety checkpoints in place. Kind of have some issues with that. I think these sobriety checkpoints, I mean, yeah, they're well-intended, but I think that, number one, they're just a source of revenue. That's a good way to get a source of revenue. It's a good way to unconstitutionally give reason to search vehicles. I absolutely don't agree with it. I mean, they are, you know, the police already, you know, hide behind billboards and side streets and stuff like that to try to catch you speeding or try to catch you driving erratically, all that good stuff. I don't agree with having checkpoints on top of all that, especially, too, with, you know, cameras and everything else that we got going on. It's just a revenue building kind of a thing, in my opinion. And then, of course, we've been talking about it on other shows this week, how Texas is taking control of their own border since Biden and his administration are letting the free flow of illegal migrants coming across the border. And so Texas has taken the reins here, man, and basically giving the finger to the federal border control, which I applaud them for that, by the way. If the federal government is not going to do their job and secure the border, and if they're going to keep enticing illegals to come here with everything under the sun, every possible dream of welfare, and, you know, give them a nice hotel room, give them a phone, give them clothes, vacation, everything that they could possibly want. So long as our federal government is going to keep all these wonderful incentives for illegal migration in place and not actually secure the border, then if you're a border state, I fully believe that you can take the reins, you can take your state sovereignty, and you can take control of it. Which, by the way, the next time China decides to, you know, send a spy balloon across the United States to spy on us, remember that? When it was crossing Montana, when it was crossing all these states, I was even saying then, you know, if Biden isn't going to shoot the damn thing down, then why can't the states do it themselves? They should be able to. The federal government ain't going to do it. And it's over there, it's flying over your state, and your state governor should be able to go and take that thing out when the federal government fails to do its job. Of course, there's all kinds of other stuff that we can talk about as well that's been in the news this past week. And we do got some peeps here in the chat room. I believe we got Mike and Boyd, and we got Montana Joe. So I'm going to go ahead and bring y'all in. Montana Joe, bringing you on in first.
Hello, Leola.
Hey.
I thought I'd give you a little bit of support as my appreciation for your being my co-host. You did a good job.
Ah, why, thank you. I'm glad to help. And we're planning to do another show this Wednesday. We just haven't narrowed down the time yet, but another relationships show. It was fun to do a show with you about relationships on last Wednesday. And so we're going to do it this Wednesday. So keep an eye out if you want to talk about relationships. We'll do it on Conservative Nation Media under Robert's account. So be on the lookout. And Joe, do you want to talk a little bit more about the topic that you have in mind for Wednesday?
Okay. I'm planning for 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Can you make it?
I can make it, yes. So basically the same time as last time then. So it'll be 4
right.
o'clock Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Sounds
yep.
good to me.
Okay, good. Thanks. Okay, a little bit about the show. I've been listening to females who seem to be on the side of males, and they're very good male advocates. They have put down the feminists who seem to blame everything on men, and they're making very good cases for what women do that disrupt relationships. But as I've listened to them, every once in a while, they've always put in the term protect and provide, and they haven't said roles, but they said, you know, let a man lead. He is the hero. He is a protector provider. So I'm wondering what the end game is. So the relationship show on Wednesday is going to be exploring that, folks. And thanks for giving me the time to give the brief promo. That's all I'll do for now. I can't stay too long, but I did want to come in and give you some support.
Well, and hopefully we can get some other people on as well to have that discussion. It sounds like a pretty interesting one because, and you just thought of that one today. We originally had one, but you came up with that topic today. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm game for it. So keep an eye out, Joe, from Montana Show on Conservative Nation Media. That's going to be this Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Keep an eye out for that. And then I'm going to go ahead and bring Boyd on in and Mike on in as well. And we got Ron Reck in the chat room. Ron Reck did a really, really, really super, super late show last night on his Mixler. So hi there, Ron Reck. Hey there, Boyd. Hey there, Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Oh. Hey.
All right. So what should we talk about? Should I keep going on all the current events that we could talk about but probably won't talk about? Vivek Ramaswamy.
I'm a man on the Federal Reserve. When you were talking about how they lost, I think it was $114 billion. Let's not forget that the Federal Reserve is not audited. They do a voluntary audit in which they allow some of their accounting, some of their books, to be reviewed by Congress. But it is not by law that they have to. As a result, they have about, I think it's estimated, something like five departments within the Federal Reserve that they work under. They allow Congress to review something like two of those departments, and the other three, can't touch them. Congress has no idea what they're doing within those three departments. So I can guarantee you that even though publicly they've said they've lost like $114 billion or whatever the figure was, I can almost guarantee you they're still ahead by around $200, $300 billion.
Oh, that I have no doubt about. You know, the information that we get about the Federal Reserve and its operations, like you said, are voluntary. So how much can we actually trust that they're being truthful and open and honest? Come on now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to say this about Ramaswamy. Let me say this about Frost Swami. All right? The guy, I like what he says, but the guy is lying when he says he has no ties to Soros. He has ties to Soros. He's tied to him because that family gave him the money to go to graduate school. All right? So he's a fraud. That's why I call him Fraudaswamy.
You're talking about Vivek Vaswamy, however you pronounce his name, the guy that's running for the
Vivek or Vivek. Yeah. So Trump blasted him. Trump blasted Ramaswamy on Truth Social as not MAGA. Former President Donald Trump on Saturday night leveled a withering attack on businessmen and 2024 GOP rival Vivek Ramaswamy, calling him very sly and not MAGA. A vote for Vivek is a vote for the other side. Don't get duped by this. Vote for Trump. Trump vote. Don't waste your vote. Vivek is not MAGA. And Ramaswamy has been very favorable toward Trump. He's like the only candidate, running on for the GOP that's been, a staunch, supporter of Trump, and the only one that isn't throwing mud balls at Trump. And so I kind of like, wow, okay. So Trump apparently doesn't like him very much. And Vivek hasn't really responded. All he said is that it's Trump's attack on him is an unfortunate move by his campaign. That's all he said on it. And he continues to call Haley a puppet. Vivek actually, he did a video about how Nikki Haley, the poll numbers look really fishy, that they're hoisting her up. He predicts that the Democrats are going to somehow succeed, probably by sometime this spring, to knock Trump off of the podium and put Haley in his place. And so that's what he predicts. And he's like, I watched this video of him talking about it, and he's like, you can see the writings on the wall. You can see how they're positioning her. And he's very doubtful about the poll numbers coming out about her. He's very skeptical of that. So he, even though Trump attacked him, Vivek isn't doing the same in kind. He's refraining from, getting crappy about Trump and still focusing on Nikki Haley and how she's probably one of the last people that we would want as president or vice president. She's a warmonger. And I know that we talked too, like Rand Paul started up a website saying Never Haley or something, kind of an anti-Nikki Haley website recently. And Rand Paul was encouraging libertarians not to vote for her, and my first instinct there was, what libertarian in their right mind would vote for that woman? I don't think you could even call yourself a libertarian if you're willing to vote for her. So not too worried about libertarians voting for her, but it's everybody else that's falling for it. Like I said, I don't really know. Do any of you know anybody in your conservative circles that actually likes Nikki Haley?
Not really.
Well, one time I think we did. I think she was the ambassador at one time, and I think probably did. But briefly, I want to say that I didn't know about George Soros' money headed towards Vaswamy's pockets. But if Soros did that, and then I'm going to have to agree with Mike and say that, once you're in the pocket of a globalist, you're always in the pocket of a globalist.
Well, it's
like
a one, like
the CIA. Oh, go ahead, Boyd.
Kind of like what one of my friends in D.C. said. You know how you can tell a good politician from a bad politician?
One's dead.
No. The good ones are when they get bought, they stay bought. They can't be bought by nobody else.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're loyal to their original purchaser. And I read, I am going back right now, BlackRock has made itself another nifty purchase, talking about globalists. Where's the article that I just saw? Scrolling. BlackRock is at a $12.5 billion deal to purchase Global Infrastructure Partners. Let's see. BlackRock said Friday it would buy Global Infrastructure Partners for $12.5 billion and a major bet on alternative assets and announce a shakeup of its top management. The deal, which includes $3 billion in cash and 12 million BlackRock shares, will put the asset management giant at the heart of investing in ports, power, and digital infrastructure projects around the globe. Once the deal closes, the firm will hold approximately $150 billion in infrastructure assets across the portfolio that ranges from the U.S. liquefied natural gas export market to wastewater services in France to airports in England and Australia. So BlackRock, I mean, I don't think people really get how expansive BlackRock is and Vanguard. Between those two, they pretty much own everything. They are New World Order money, it's part of the New World Order money laundering apparatus and control apparatus. There's almost nothing that BlackRock isn't into. When you want to go follow the money, everywhere you look, it seems like it's either BlackRock or Vanguard that holds the biggest control over some of the biggest companies worldwide. It's really kind of scary.
Right. It's also a slick way for, as you were saying, money laundering, for escaping the attention of people who aren't really financially savvy. Because if somebody's trying to invest in a company as an independent trader, and let's say they're a neophyte at it, and they take a look and say, BlackRock, it's a hedge fund. Okay, they're not the owners. They just own some shares. They own a lot of shares, billions, trillions of dollars worth. They're not making much of an impact. So they skip over the fact that BlackRock, like with Vanguard, do own the companies. And without being or even being on the board of directors of these companies, let's say without being on the board of directors of these companies, they can apply threats as to how much they're going to continue to invest, how much they're going to sell of the stocks that they own, and influence policies that way. Even though when you take a look at the Q4s and the annual reports, they're not listed, as being members of the boards of directors or of corporations that have a direct, have bought shares directly of the particular companies in question. So it's a pretty slick operation. It's out there. It's what the globalists do all the time. It's hidden in plain sight.
Lauren, check the chat, and I put in an article about Ramaswamy accepting the money from Soros.
Okay, I am opening up now.
Hey, Mike,
I apologize.
How long ago
my dog is barking in the background.
Yep.
Vivek Ramaswamy defends accepting scholarship from George Soros' brother while raking in millions in income. This article is from September 8th of last year. Republican presidential hopeful Vivek Ramaswamy strongly defended a Soros scholarship he accepted when his financial situation appeared more than stable and he reported millions in income. Ramaswamy received a scholarship in 2011 from the Paul and Daisy Soros Fellowship for New Americans, founded by the late older brother of liberal financier George Soros, that offers individuals of immigrant households up to $90,000 in award money. The entrepreneur joined the Mehdi Hasan show Thursday on Peacock, where the host pressed him on the scholarship. Quote, you say you're anti-identity politics, anti-affirmation action, affirmative action, in a party that hates the Soros name, yet you accepted a Paul and Daisy Soros scholarship at law school that was specifically set up for children of immigrants, Hasan said. It was an affirmative action scholarship, and your defense for that is that you didn't have the money to pay for law school, even though you had already made over $1 million at the time. Ramaswamy interjected, that's not true. My defense of that is that someone gives you a merit scholarship at the age of 24, you take it. At the age of 24, if someone gives you a merit scholarship, you take it. I didn't say I didn't have the money. I said at the time that I had a lot less money than now. $50,000 was still useful, Ramaswamy said before Hasan spoke over him. Hasan said Ramaswamy keeps forgetting. He said he didn't have the money. Ramaswamy had previously said that he didn't have the money for Yale Law School after graduating from Harvard. However, Ramaswamy took the Soros scholarship when he was already a millionaire, Fox News Digital reported last month. In 2011, when he was a first-year law student at Yale and received the award, he reported $2.25 million total in income, according to tax returns he released in June. Ramaswamy had worked at an investment as an investment analyst at a hedge fund, QVT Financial, for several years before accepting the scholarship. He also reported a combined $1.2 million in income during the 3 years before the award year. Vivek won a generic scholarship that hundreds of students win to attend graduate school. Tricia McLaughlin, his campaign spokesman, previously told Fox News Digital it was funded by a relative of George Soros, who is long dead. So then it goes on a little bit to kind of try to defend it. But let's see. Yeah, so.
But yeah.
Which then that opens up the door for the discussion saying, you know, for the scholarship is for people of immigrants and stuff like that. And that just goes to show, like, is he truly eligible to be running for president? You know, when he was born here, neither one of his parents were citizens. His parents were here legally, but they weren't citizens yet. Only his mother took the test and became a citizen later. But his father never did. And that's something that he's also been shady about. Like when he first started campaigning, he was explaining his parents immigrating here in a way that sort of hid the true nature of it. He made it sound like they were both citizens. You know, yeah, they came here and he made it sound like they were both citizens before he was born. Like they got his, you know, they got their citizenship before he was born. And he didn't, you know, say that outrightly, but the way he talked about it gave that impression. And then as time went on, he was forced to clarify. I know it was Sarge that pointed it out to me. And so I went looking further. And, you know, and I even admitted to Sarge, like, hey, I stand corrected, you know, from what I had heard at the time, you know, Vivek had been, you know, creating this impression that both of his parents were citizens when he was born, but that's not the case. I had to look into it a little bit deeper and see, you know, him eventually coming out and being more descriptive of the truth about that. He was kind of forced into the corner to not be able to spin his own parents' immigration status here when he was born. So it's like, if he's so proud of it, you know, then why would he deliberately, you know, why would he deliberately, you know, try to get people to think that both of his parents were citizens, you know what I mean, before he was born? Like, you know, if he's so proud of them, you know, if there's nothing to hide, why wouldn't he just come right out and say the truth, you know, in its entirety, instead of trying to hide it? My dog's going crazy over here and wants to go outside. So sorry if you're hearing some background noise there from my dog. But, and it looks like Montana Joe dropped. Maybe he'll call back in. Maybe not. I don't know. And let's see. Who else we got there? We got two Skype members, and we got Joe Gibson listening. Any one of you can raise your hand. I think my dog is definitely... What? Is there something outside?
If he's lying about this, then he's a fraud, you know? He's perpetrating a fraud on America, you know? On his whole campaign for president is a fraud, you know? So I like what he says, don't get me wrong. I like him going after another fraud who's Nikki Haley, by the way, who she herself is not a citizen because neither one of her parents were citizens, right? So when she was born. So, so you know, he's a fraud. Basically, you look at the people on that stage, the only two people on that stage that were legal were that are legal citizens. I hate his ass, but I hate his fat ass. Is a fucking Krispy Kreme and it's not us, you know?
Yep. Yeah, that's kind of the crazy thing about it. You know, and I am, you know, I am a supporter of clarifying, you know, the requirements to be president. I absolutely think that in order to qualify to be president, both of your parents need to be U.S. citizens when you are born, you know, not after the fact, you know, that kind of thing, because we don't want that kind of foreign influence. We're America, you know, we're the United States of America. And so I think that in order to be eligible to be president of this great country, both of your parents, you should be born of citizens, you know, people that are actual citizens of this country at the time of your birth. I don't think that that is a super outrageous requirement to have.
Now, people will say that none of the Trump kids can become president. But the problem is Ivana and what's her name and what's her name became citizens. All right, they were naturalized citizens. And of course, Trump was born here. His parents were born here. His grandparents were born here. So he is a citizen. Melania Trump is a citizen. Ivana Trump, may she rest in peace, was a citizen. So when that's a very specious argument to make against the Trump kids, because both parents, both their parents you know, including barons or citizens. So yeah, if and when any of the Trump kids, if or when any of the Trump kids decide, I'm going to run for president, they'll bring that up and say, well, they're not citizens, but they are, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's pretty quiet tonight.
Boyd means, I guess Boyd's here someplace.
I'm here.
Yeah, Boyd's still here. We've still got three people that are muted, haven't raised their hand yet in the switchboard. So if you want me to bring you on, go ahead and press 1, and I'll be happy to bring you on. Otherwise, kick back and listen. I haven't seen Robert show up yet. To do with New Mexico. So we'll see if he turns up anytime soon.
Well, how long is the clip from New Mexico? How long is the New Mexico clip?
It is, let me take a look. It is about 8 minutes.
Yeah. And it is in regards to...
I'm going to tease
What's
you.
What's it about?
Well, it has to do with gun rights. And speaking of gun rights, there was some good news a couple days ago. A federal judge has declared that a law banning Americans from possessing guns in post offices is unconstitutional. How about that? U.S. District Judge Catherine Kimball Mizell in Florida ruled Friday that a landmark U.S. Supreme Court ruling from 2022 made the postal office gun ban illegal. As part of the decision, she dismissed part of an indictment charging postal worker Emmanuel Ayala with illegally possessing a gun in a federal building. Criminal charge violated Ayala's Second Amendment rights. The Supreme Court has been clear. The government must point to historical principles that would permit it to prohibit firearms possession in post offices.
Stop. Could I get you to start that all over again? I lost sound, and then you were garbled. And I don't know if it happened to everybody or just me.
Maybe
I know you sound good in my end.
I heard the entire thing, boy.
Okay, well then, never mind. I missed it. It must have been my end. I jopalize.
No problem. I did put the article in the chat room, so you can pull up that article there. But that's a nice win, you know. Hopefully we get more of this.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
we'll
this whole, you know, safe spaces kind of philosophy.
Well, you got to remember that most of the mass shootings in the early days of mass shootings all actually happened in the post office. Remember those days?
There's a reason for the term going postal, right?
Yep.
Well, then
okay.
I guess,
hey, listen,
you know, you can also qualify that. What's the other place that it used to be? You know, banks. Banks are a hot spot, right? Mm-hmm. And then it also depends on how you define mass shootings. You know, a lot of times going postal meant like a disgruntled postal worker. Not, you know, somebody coming in off the street, you know, and with guns
to shoot
the place up. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, it doesn't matter if you came in off the street and shot it up, but most of them were done by employees who did it. And a lot of mass shootings, places of business, are from employees, disgruntled employees, not somebody walking in off the street.
Yeah, any time somebody walked in, it didn't even have to be a post office. Anytime somebody walked into a business where they worked at or whatever and started to open fire, that term going postal went for it, right? So boy walks into where the AT&T office in the 1990s and starts shooting, there you go, right?
Yep.
And by banning guns, of course, then there's nobody to defend against it,
I'll honestly tell you, where I worked, there was a guy that we all kept an eye on pretty closely, because we figured that one day that he was going to come in and start shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I would wager to say after that rash of shootings and that term became prevalent, I would wager to say in most businesses, in most places, there was at least one person that had questionable mental state that said, okay, this guy's going to, or gal is going to come in. Most of them were guys, but anyway, we come in to business X and start shooting, right? We're looking at the mental state of Mr. X or Miss Y, that's just what you were doing at the time.
Hey, listen, everybody,
if you can hear me,
I'm gonna drop off and call back in, see if I can get a better hook. I'm getting garbled.
Oh, okay, are we still choppy
you
on your end?
Yeah, so I'm gonna drop off and call back in.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. I am on the ready. See when he comes in.
Okay, I put a clip into the chat room. It's a song that it's funny, but a lot of people maybe feel this way. It's a YouTube clip. If when Boyd or whomever decides to come on back in, find it, play it, whatever. But it's a nice song.
All righty, I got it copied. And then Boyd is back raising his hand, bringing him on in. And then I do have a Skype caller raising their hand. Let's find out who it is. Is it Sarge? Is it John Doe? Hello, hello. Who do we got?
Laura, you're getting good at this. You're getting kind of psychic. what is it, practice? Does practice enable you to get so good and accurate?
Well, at least this time you came up as a Skype number instead of unknown.
I guess that's kind of random. I guess where it pops up, but I'm doing it the same way I do it every time. But look, I think it's kind of encouraging that a postal worker can have a gun and not go postal in the colloquial sense. That's kind of encouraging. But the judge's ruling is definitely correct. I mean, I suppose the post office by regulation can forbid an employee to possess a firearm while they're on duty on postal grounds. I suppose they could do that. And they maybe could discipline you or fire you for that, but to charge you criminally? No, they shouldn't be able to charge you criminally for it. And I think that's the crux of the judge's ruling, and I think it's completely appropriate.
Well, I think the judge's ruling's intent was more on the lines of not the employees, but somebody coming in to check their mailbox, drop off a letter, pick up a letter or a package.
Yeah.
More so than
I don't think criminal charges should apply to either employee or other types of citizens just happen to be on postal ground. I think both classes of persons should be protected by this judge's ruling. Now, the problem, though, is that I can guarantee bloody well to you, every single person that they find with a gun on postal property that's not authorized to have it by existing regulation is going to be charged by the postal inspectors. I can guarantee you that until finally somebody orders them to stop doing it, even though this ruling is appropriate. Or is it a nationwide sanction, or was it for that district only?
This was a U.S. District Court in Florida. It's a federal law that she referenced the Supreme Court decided on that it's unconstitutional to bar somebody from being armed and so she basically, this judge cited in that case to follow the Supreme Court's ruling on the subject, basically, is my
understanding. Okay, I guess that injunction then is binding nationwide. It's a nationwide injunction then.
No, it would be a, I believe that it would be a district-wide, or I can't remember what federal district the Florida is in. I think it's the 5th district or something like that. It would apply to the 5th district for sure, not necessarily any place else outside of the 5th district. Just like I'm in the ninth district, and a lot of the bullshit that comes out of the ninth circuit, you know, applies up here, but doesn't apply to, you know, people that are not inside the ninth circuit.
Yeah. So she did cite the Supreme Court ruling. I don't know if that maybe makes it applicable nationwide, but I can guarantee even in the 5th district, the postal inspectors or the FBI is going to charge you with possessing a firearm on federal property, and they're going to have a case where it goes criminally, and they're going to have one that directly impinges on it again, and they're going to have to be ordered to stop arresting people for that. So, I mean, they don't want to give up this power.
Well, this is
probably the Second Amendment. They just don't want to do it. They're going to have to be repeatedly sanctioned until they do. They're not going to want to do it. They're not going to comply with it.
Let me say this, Sarge. This will be a chink if it stands up. If somebody doesn't appeal it on up to the circuit. To the full circuit or to the Supreme Court, this will be a chink in the armor of us as citizens not being allowed to carry inside federal buildings, period.
Yeah.
I hope it does go that route. And, yeah, this is a U.S. District Judge Catherine Kimball Mizell in Florida. And the Supreme Court ruling that I think she's referring to is the Bruin test, basically, Bruin decision. And so she's applying the Bruin decision to her ruling that Mr. Ayala's charge for illegally possessing a firearm violated his Second Amendment rights based on that Bruin test. So, yeah, I hope it does go because, you know, then it wouldn't just cover post offices. It should then cover any federal building, you know. We can have definitely some widespread ramifications if this logic is applied to the board with federal buildings, yeah.
Well, oh, yeah, there's another thing I'd like to talk about, something I heard earlier. I think it was Boye who said it. I'm not sure. He's talking about Vivek Ramaswamy. Was that him or was that somebody else?
That was Mike that was talking about Vivek. And
oh, okay.
I
couldn't hear very well, so I didn't know if it was him or not.
And his citizenship.
But anyway, yeah, I think that when we're talking about this, I know what he meant to say, but I think it's really important that when we talk about this with people, we got to be very careful about the terms we use because they love to distort our positions on this issue. Because I'm certain I heard him say that Vivek wasn't a citizen. Now, I know what he meant to say, if in fact he said that, and I'm not misquoting him or reading what he said, but they accuse us of trying to deny that people like Vivek Ramaswamy and Barack Obama and Kamala Harris are citizens, which clearly we're not because that's federal case law, Wong Kim Mark, 1968. If you're born to people who are legally resident in the United States but who are not citizens, you are a citizen of the United States via the 14th Amendment. So we're not saying that they're not citizens. We're saying they're not Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, eligible to be president or vice president. That's what we're saying. We got to keep it there so they don't run all over the place with false accusations of a lot of things that we're not saying. Been there, done that. I tell you, the way they distort this argument beggars belief sometimes. They'll just make straw man arguments out of things we just didn't even bring up because we want to repeatedly stress the point. The only constitutional application for natural-born citizens is eligibility to be president or vice president, nothing else. It doesn't make you a better class of citizen or a superior class of citizen or any special immunity or privilege type citizen. No, 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 no. Just eligibility to be president of the United States. That's it. Because frankly, a lot of naturalized citizens are actually better citizens than a lot of natural-born ones. But that's not the issue. The framers of that article wanted to minimize the likelihood of undue foreign influence on the office of president, particularly by a father owing allegiance to a foreign sovereignty. Why? Because they were patriarchs, and they believed that the citizenship of the father was the citizenship of the children. And that's another thing about this that offends modern sensibilities, which is why we're having such a hard time getting people to accept it and understand the original intent.
You know,
very well put.
That's the that most definitely was the argument with Obama. And you got to remember that that question and that whole situation was started by Hillary Clinton and her campaign during the primary.
Yep. I never forget that.
So far, nobody has really brought that issue to the forefront in the Republican primary with Vivek. And it probably won't come to anything with Vivek because he's polling so low in the polls and everything else, and his chances are going to be, you know, slim to none. However, you know, if some miracle happens that Vivek is the Republican candidate, becomes the Republican candidate for president, you can be damn well certain that that argument will come up, and it will come up hard and strong from the Democrats.
Actually, it should, but the problem with them is they're just so damn inconsistent about it because it doesn't serve their political agenda because of the fact that Obama and Harris are sitting there in offices that they know they weren't eligible for.
But Sarge, you got to remember.
I'm
going to
bring
Ron Ruck
into the fold here.
You got to remember this, Sarge. Okay, it serves their purpose for Obama and the Jamaican. Okay, it serves their purpose. They're not going to say anything. They don't care. Or they may, you know, they just don't care because they got their people in place. However, if it's a Republican, you bet your ass they're going to come down hard and heavy.
And they got, they got to take a look at if it's Nikki Haley as well, because her parents,
didn't Trump just bring up the issue of her lack of eligibility? I'll tell you this much, what Trump should do, and I don't know if he's going to do this or not, but if he wants to show that he's really consistent and honest about this, he would mention the fact that neither of his sons are eligible because their mother was not a United States citizen at the time they were born. Neither Eric nor the other brother was born to a citizen mother. Their father, of course, is an American citizen. That makes them American citizens, both by statute and by the 14th Amendment, by the Immigration and Naturalization Act and by the 14th Amendment, but not natural born. So,
No. Let's back up a minute, Sarge. Because
sorry to interrupt
you say
again, but we got Nathan and Joe Gibson raising their hands, so I'm going to bring them on in to the fold here as well. Sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to let people know I'm bringing Nathan and Joe Gibson on in.
Okay, sorry.
Continue.
You said Section 2 of the Constitution for eligibility.
No, Article 2.
Is natural born citizen. Well, Article 2, yeah. Well, is natural born citizen. And you also mentioned that at the time they were patriarchal, which meant the citizenship came from the father and not the mother. Well, those two boys may have been born of a wife that was legally here that was not quite yet a citizen, but their father was and was natural born. Patriarchal would apply to those two guys. Okay?
Yeah,
at least that's the way I see it. So that
I wouldn't outright reject that argument. The reason I say though you have to have two citizen parents is because the Supreme Court rulings on the Supreme Court in which they define natural born citizen in the Minor versus Happersat case and the Venus Merchantman case, where they actually gave a definition of natural born citizen. It involves two citizen parents. Now, when I spoke of the rationale for it, I believe that the rationale behind it was they were concerned about the father's allegiance to another sovereignty because they were patriarchs. But
right,
as far as the Supreme Court making a definition, every time they made a definition involving a natural born citizen and some sort of description of it, they involved two citizen parents. So there may be a contradiction there. Maybe an Article III court hearing it might decide that if your father is a citizen, then that would satisfy the Article II requirement. I wouldn't be disturbed by the court that made that ruling. I'm just saying that based upon what I have read, it's two citizen parents according to prior Supreme Court.
And remember. We also went through this argument with John McCain, because McCain was born of two American citizens in the country of Panama while his father was stationed in Panama. And I would assume that his birth took place in a military hospital.
No, it didn't.
On a military base. I don't know where
his birth certificate that he produced.
I got
when this controversy was going on, The birth certificate that he produced for public consumption said he was born in Panama City Hospital in Cologne, the Cologne Hospital in Panama City. So that's
okay.
Sovereign Panamanian soil, not a military base. And even if it was a military base, a military base is leased by the United States government. It is not United States soil. Only embassies are, or sections set aside by treaty as American soil, like military graveyards, like in France, you know, that Normandy cemetery. That's
yeah.
United States soil
yeah.
by decree of France.
I got an insight.
But not a military base. That's leased.
You know,
I got an insight.
go ahead.
This is Nathan in Orlando. Listen, I was born, my dad was in the military. I was born in Germany in Wiesbaden. They didn't have an army hospital in Frankfurt then, so I was born in the Air Force hospital. I have a German birth certificate, but I also have a certificate from the whatever this department it is. I can look it up because I got a copy. It says foreign citizen, American citizen, foreign born, and then it lists all the information. So I can run for president because I was born in Germany, but I was there because my dad was there on business. They brought this thing up about John McCain and had meetings, his hearings or whatever you want to call it, in Congress and concluded that he is qualified to run for president. They got that out of our mind, but then they got quiet on it with Obama.
Well, I tell you,
I'm
glad, Nathan, I am glad you called in on this because I was about to bring that up, and you're a concrete example of what I'm about to talk about. You are a concrete example of it. We have every American soldier or person that is a military person or a family member that's overseas is there as a result of a status of forces agreement with the host country. The status of forces agreement we have with every single host country that they allow us to station our troops in, every single one of them has a provision that says an American citizen, a child born to American citizen serving overseas, must register that birth with the consulate in the place where they're in so that country cannot claim them as a United States citizen. If they don't,
yes.
then that country will claim your child as an American citizen because their citizenship laws say anyone born in their country is a citizen of that country. So to circumvent that, the status of forces agreement that we sign with every country where we have troops stationed will allow us to register your birth and say, this child is an American citizen. Now, there is a question as to whether or not that person is Article 2 eligible. And again, that is something for an Article 3 court to finally hammer out with a specific ruling on the matter. I think that one is up in the air.
Okay, let me throw something in here. I've been told all my life by people from a childhood up that when I grow up, because I got a German birth certificate that I can't even read, okay, they say you can go back and claim citizenship there. But I found out, and I'm not interested in that, but I found out just to find out, is it true? I checked into it, and then no. The only thing you got something that says you were foreign born. Your parents were over there on business,
right.
Serving the military, and I came back. And even if I would have, you know, they would have put me in an orphanage as John Doe. Or something like that, because if they left me there or they found me. But I don't have any access to citizenship. I always wanted to see my birthplace. This is something personal here. I always wanted, and I always thought I would grow up and join the Army and go to Germany. But I got lucky enough that before I went in the military, I went to Germany in Friedrichshafen, Fischbach, back then West Germany, as a student and studying in a Bible college there that was an English-speaking school. And then afterwards, I traveled around 13 countries, and I went to Wiesbaden, and I was standing across the street. This made my heart mushy. I'm standing across the street from the from the hospital, just looking at it, thinking, "Wow, man, I was bread and buttered right there," you know. And this MP came out, and because terrorism was a big issue back then. This was in 1985, whenever I was there.
Well, yeah.
I was there in
Peter Meinhof.
But this guy, he basically seized me. He said, "I need you to come in here. Want to see your ID. Want to know what's going on." And I was just telling him, "I was born here, and I just came here because I wanted to see the hospital that I was born in." And he goes, "Okay, hold on a second." Got on his radio. Then next thing you know, this colonel came down, and he was talking to me, and I was telling him, "Yeah." And he said, "You want to tour the hospital?" And he took me to the place where I was born, and it was a trauma center with a helicopter pad outside. He goes, "This is actually where you were born. The maternity ward is over on this section here, but I just want to let you see it." Now, I'm going to tell you what, my heart got mushy. I that was more than I was ever expecting. So that was a cool thing. But listen, on the natural born citizen, when the founders came over here, it's found in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 to the end, verses 20, verse 14 through 20. That, and this is what I was taught, it's coming from a theological point of view, and I ain't got nothing to fight over it with, but they were saying when the founders came over here, this was the scripture that they said they were going to build this country on, and one of the things it did is it mentions, back then it wasn't president, for them, if they are going to elect a king, he's got to be a natural-born citizen. And it spells it all out, Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 through 20. And you know, I ain't got enough information to get in any fusses over that, but it does line up with everything we've been taught. On the thing with Obama, like I said, they had hearings. They did a research on McCain just to make sure he's natural born, but they never did do it on, and that's why I can never, ever vote for a Republican. They didn't do anything for trying to find out if Obama was legal to be president. And yet, I remember this, Amy Kramer, when they were having the Tea Party Express out in California having the debates, and she was out there covering it for the Tea Party. And CNN lady asked her, what do you got to say about Obama being born in overseas in another country, you know, in Kenya? She goes, no, he was born in Hawaii. You know, the records show it. You know what? I knew right then she is nothing but a Republican plant, because they didn't do any research on it until after he was in office, you know?
Just to make sure we're clear on what the Senate did, and that was a Senate resolution called Senate Resolution 511. It was authored by Clara McCaskill. It was a resolution only with no legal effect, and it was the sense of the Senate's opinion on the matter. It has no legal binding effect whatsoever. And they decreed that John McCain was a natural-born citizen by virtue of the fact that both of his parents were United States citizens when he was born. Now, they did do that, but it doesn't have any legal binding effect. And so the issue has never been settled by an Article III court directly. There has never directly been a ruling on what constitutes an Article II, Section 1, Clause 5, eligible citizen to be president or vice president. That's why we need to get it in the court and have a definitive ruling on the matter.
Here's the thing I learned about Panama. I wasn't stationed there. I was stationed there with my dad as a small child. I don't remember it. My brother does remember memories. But one of the things back then, as I've been told, there was no military base. The Panama Canal was basically where you lived and the little jungles around there, and there wasn't like a Fort Hood or a Fort Bragg there. You just went there, and if he has to go to the doctor, he doesn't go down to the base medic, you know, the base hospital. It was back then. I don't know what it is now, but I was told back then you just went there and lived among the people. Because my brother was telling me about my dad helped us build a fort out in the woods I barely can remember this thing. It was a small, like a little camp. And there was some guys, older boys came out there and ran us off. And my dad went out and told them this is their little hut to play with, you know, and you leave it alone, you know. And I don't remember a lot of this stuff, but my brother had a strong memory for it. But we lived right there. You were everywhere, you know. If the Russians showed up, I was going to be right where they're at, you know, or the Chinese.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
I was stationed there, man. I was stationed opposite the Fold the Gap, and we were told that opposite us was the 8th Guards Tank Army. No, the 8th, the 1st Guards Tank Army and the 8th Guards Army, and that they expected us to be obliterated once they came through the gap in about 72 to 120 hours, but we were supposed to do as much damage to them as we could before reinforcements arrived. But they said, don't expect to survive. We got one armored division, a 3rd armored division is there, and we're up for facing possibly 9 divisions of mechanized and armored troops.
Yeah.
Man.
That was the same story I got up here in Alaska. We were a suicide brigade.
You yeah, you're closer to Russia than you are United States. Yeah.
But here's the deal. I just did a little bit of research. You know, both Ivana Trump and Melania didn't become citizens until after they had their kids, all right? So that means not only the 3 boys, but Barron Trump and Ivanka Trump in that case.
I think Barron was born after she became a citizen. I'm pretty sure about that. Now, I know the others weren't, Ivanka or Don and Eric, they, but I'm pretty sure Barron was born after Melania had become a citizen. I'm pretty sure of that.
We do have a Skype caller raising their hand. I'm going to interrupt here just for a sec. We have a Skype caller raising their hand. I want to find out who it is, so I'm going to go ahead and bring this person on. And let's find out. Skype caller, you're on. Who do we got?
I feel like you know who this is.
Hey, long time no hear.
Yeah, what's going on?
Now,
good to see you making your way here tonight. It's been a while.
I'm looking at it right here, Sarge. It says Donald, 2005, Melania Trump married Donald Trump, okay? She gave birth to Barron in 2006, and then later that year, she became a naturalized citizen. So she became a naturalized citizen after he was born.
They need to settle what that means.
Okay, well, that would be a matter of fact, and matters of fact are fairly easy to determine. And if, in fact, that is true, then Barron is not a natural-born citizen either.
No,
yep.
The only one of his children that is a natural born citizen is Tiffany, because Marla Maples is a citizen. All right.
Right. Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, and once the facts are determined, then that will determine their eligibility to be present. And I think that Donald Trump would be serious about saying Nikki Haley is not eligible. He should illustrate his commitment to that fact by saying my own children aren't. Now, I don't know if he'll do that, but his esteem, which is already high in my eyes, would rise enormously, because then he would be consistent with the best understanding of what an Article II citizen is.
Hey, Trump. I mean, Sarge, I call you Trump because you're going to be
Trump.
Working for him.
Hey, Trump.
Hey, if I send you Trump's information so you can reach him personally, would you send him some of your ideas? And then he'll probably want
to I don't know what he's doing listening to me for, but Look, anything that if you think anything I can send him that would help. I suppose people do send him things.
I will
help.
Send it. I will send it.
I
will send it to Lori, and she can get it on to you. And you send her any ideas, him, you, and even invite him to listen to any of the shows you're on, because I want to see him get down here among the people, the people's media, and let him come on Lori, Sally's, and Joe's show. Just let him come down here and talk with the people, because that there's where the real spark is going to start. Because
I
was listening to this stuff in Iowa. And you know what? I mean, I'm hearing some really sound ideas, but the thing is, these people don't have the experience. Trump, you know, they're trying to act like, a couple of them are trying to act like, you know, yeah, well, Trump's just not going to make it, but they want his endorsement kind of crap. What I want to see is I want to see Trump get in there because he's got experience. He's already proved that. How many generations have we been at war and he brought it to an end? And then as soon as he's gone, guess what? Kaboom, it starts all over again. He's already proved
amazing.
he's the guy that they're going to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things
one of the things I did
is I sent him Dr. John McTernan's book, As America Has Done to Israel. And he goes back and shows from the beginning of the country when we opened up. That's why there's a strong Jewish population in New York. Whenever Russia was persecuting Jews, and they were doing what they could to get out, America opened our borders to these people fleeing for security. Most of them showed up in New York, and within 7 years after that, we were declared the world's superpower. And he shows that storm, that really big superstorm, where Trump, where Bush was in the Middle East, and he signed a deal, and before he got done signing it, a hurricane turned and took his completely unpredictable source, went straight to Maine and hit his mansion that's on the water, and remember, Condoleezza Rice was in the Middle East working out a deal. And at the moment, he documents this, at the moment that she was signing her signature, the Hurricane Katrina had came into New Orleans, went back out into the ocean, and at the very moment she was signing it, it turned around and 1 hour later went back and hit and just totally broke everything up in New Orleans. He documents throughout history some kind of a tragedy, an earthquake, a storm, a stock market drop within a 24-hour period of any time we do something against Israel. We had one president 7 days later after signing an agreement died. Okay. So I sent his book. I contacted Dr. McTernan, and I asked him to send a book, and I wanted to give him a book. And he wrote a letter, and in the letter he pointed out, he highlighted certain things throughout the book because, he knew he wouldn't have enough time to read it because of, running. He's going to be busy. He said, just read these and you'll get a gist. One of the things, and I went through it, one of the things he signed about from the beginning of Israel coming back into being a nation, every president has dropped the ball on bringing the embassy to Israel, to Jerusalem. And guess what? In the next presidential debate a week later, he brought that up. Every president from the time that Israel was reestablished has dropped the ball. I'm going to do it. And whenever he got elected, that was one of the first things he moved on and got it done. Okay? And that is why I say – he's got to be the man because he believes. He doesn't just tell you what he wants to do to get what he wants. He tells you what he's going to do and he does it. And that's why he needs to be the man. There's some people up there in this Iowa thing that I was listening to the last couple of days. They're saying some things that is airtight. You can't get any water out of it, man. But I'm going to tell you what, they don't have the experience. That's just my opinion and I approve of it.
Are you guys being paid?
I'm gonna send this to Lori Ann, and
okay.
Lori Ann, please forward it to him because I know he's got
a
top secret contact information.
Okay, Naj, Naj has tried to comment a few times.
Hey,
Naj.
No, I'm cool, man. I did not know that, you know, people work for the campaign here. Okay. You guys are campaign members. I understand. Y'all do y'all thing. I'm going to stay neutral over here.
Yeah, you better believe I'm going to campaign any way I can to get Donald Trump back in that office. I'm not hiding that under a bushel. And by the way, Nathan, don't you worry. As much as I like Donald Trump, and I really love the man, I do, I'm going to hold his feet to the fire on this one and say, Mr. President, if you have any constitutional integrity in this matter, you will admit that your children, according to our best understanding of this matter, after many scholars and researchers, your own children are not eligible to be president of the United States under Article 2, Section 1, Clause 9.
When you write him that
I
order,
that
write it.
Okay. And the first thing
when
he'll tell
that,
you
sorry.
If you fell for a hoax, you fell for a hoax online. That's the first thing he'll tell you. He'll tell you he doesn't believe that stuff. He's just throwing it out.
No,
there
I didn't say what he's
going to
say. All I said was, look, Nas, he can say whatever he wants to say in response to it. That's his business. I'm going to stay true to my principles no matter what he says. Okay?
Understood.
I mean, I've studied this thing backwards and forwards since 2008. I've looked up every single precedent on the matter I can find. And I am certain that my issue is in line with the intent of the framers of that provision. Of that, I am absolutely certain. And I will hold Donald Trump to it. He's under no obligation to obey me or follow what I believe. That's going to be on him. But once I give him all the facts, if he wants to come to another conclusion, be my guest, Mr. President. That's your prerogative. Hell, most of the country would agree with it. I mean, if you're born a citizen, you're naturally born a citizen. You're Article 2 eligible. No. I don't agree with that.
Okay. So besides the fact that he made her UN ambassador, which, you know, is what it is, he gave her that
position. But you don't have to be a natural born citizen to be. You don't have to be a natural born citizen to be ambassador to the UN or general or mayor or senator or member of the House of Representatives or congressman or chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The only provision it matters for is president and vice president. Nothing else.
Yes, I guess.
Sarge, when you send this to Mr. Trump.
So,
let me throw this up and then I'll shut up.
You're gonna send the correspondence to Mr. Trump. Gotcha.
No, I know. Yeah, no, I said Sarge, when you send this to Mr. Trump, send what you just said about that one subject only to him.
Oh, I'll be happy to.
Okay.
So, former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley is eligible to be President of the United States as she was born in the U.S., which makes her a natural-born citizen. Under U.S. law, contrary to online posts saying that she is ineligible because her immigrant parents were not yet naturalized by the time of her birth, the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution grants citizenship to all people born in the United States and under its jurisdiction without regard to the parent citizenship at the time. This was work done by the scholars at Dartmouth, Harvard, and Brown on answering
now,
this question, which has come up based on. Wait a minute. Let's go. What you guys got
yeah, Claudine Gay is the president of Harvard, and you got fighting Harvard.
Whoa! I know you don't want to hear me because right now.
No,
you're about
I
want to
hear it. I want to hear it. That's why I'll be able to refute everything you say. Everything's
okay,
about me, but we're
two.
I want to hear it.
Water.
I do want to hear it.
Relax. Drink some water. A Facebook post shares a screenshot of Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the Constitution with the caption, according to our Constitution, Nikki Haley is ineligible to run for president or be VP. Her parents were from India and here legally, but not yet citizens when she was born. Therefore, she is not a natural-born citizen, which is required by the Constitution. That is not what Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 says. It actually reads, no person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of the Constitution shall be eligible to the president for the office of President of the United States. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall not have attained the age of 35 years or, you know, 14 years residency. So this online hoax, which gained traction on Facebook, spread through Telegram and got to TikTok, has a lot of people up in arms saying that Nikki Haley is not eligible and trying to use it retroactively and say that Kamala Harris wasn't eligible. They're all wrong. The actual scholars who've looked at this have concluded that, yes, they can run. Yes, they were eligible. And this is another right-wing farce that you guys believe in.
Now that you said that, I'm going to examine what you said in detail. And I'm going to ask you questions about it using logic, with using the Socratic method. And I'm going to let you answer. And I'm going to trust you to be honest in your answer. How about that, Don? You want to do that? Is that okay with you?
Ooh.
All right. Now, you believe Barack Obama was eligible to be president, right? You believe he was Article II eligible, right? You believe that, don't you?
You mean the person who served two terms? Yes.
Yes. You believe. Okay, good. That's all I want to establish. You believe it. Okay, fine. Now.
Right. But Did he serve two terms? No, but
yes. Look, that has nothing to do with eligibility. The fact that he got away with it, Jester Arthur got away with it too. He served two terms, and it has nothing to do with the issue because the issue has never been examined by an Article III court. So you got it. That's true too. What you said is true. What I just said is true. That still doesn't settle the issue of Article III eligibility because it's never been ruled upon by any Article III court in the history of the United States. It's still up in the air, no matter what you say, no matter what I say. Now, having said that, all of the founders of the United States, all of them, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Andrew Jackson, all the way up to John Quincy Adams, all of them were born British subjects. None of them were natural-born citizens. The only way they could be eligible was via the grandfather clause that you just read. You just read it, that you have to be or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution in 1787, which all of the men I just listed were. That is the only way they would have been eligible, even though they fomented the revolution, they fought the war that created the United States. None of them were eligible under Article II without that grandfather clause. Now, Barack Obama, when questioned about this in 2009, admitted his mouth to your ears and mine that he was born a British subject, but it expired when he was 21 years old under British immigration law. That's what he said. So you, sir, are telling me that the framers of Article II would have been just hunky-dory with a person born a British subject by his own admission when they were born British subjects, and none of them were eligible without the grandfather clause. You just said that to me, and you believe that, and I don't think you really believe it. You want it to work as a matter of art because you want this to prevail. I don't think you're worried about integrity to the constitutional intent.
My question to you is,
do you think that the framers of Article II in 1787, which, by the way, the 14th Amendment does not refer to or modify in any way, shape, form, or fashion, do you believe that they would have been just fine with a British subject being eligible to be president of the United States?
Yeah, so here's the problem.
Okay, good. I got the answer. That's all I need. Now, one more thing I'd like to say. So now that we've satisfied that you have no integrity to the Constitution.
It's two people talking.
See, this is what I mean. And then I'm citing the Constitution and your own argument. You just made it, Naj. And now you want to do a straw man argument. This is what you always do when you corner.
Let him dig his hole.
It's about one person who has the actual information and another person who's repeating propaganda and twisting lies. So the British little quote.
You see the straw man he just raised right there?
That's not a
he didn't trust
man.
Anything
that's an
I said.
Of the untruthiness of what you just said. It's untrue. So the actual
you
fact is Barack Obama.
A single issue I just raised. Not one.
Right.
You made a straw man argument out of everything
cool.
I said.
So let's dismiss what you said and let's get to what I'm saying. Barack Obama was born in Hawaii via.
No, it's not addressing what I said.
Hold on. See, y'all don't know the story. I actually do. That's the problem here.
Okay, well, why did he say he was born a British subject?
Because he didn't
say
it.
Why did he say he was born a British subject?
That's a lie that you believe. He didn't say it. It's another lie you believe.
Yes, he did. I'm going to get it for you. Wait a minute. Okay. You challenged me. I'm going to get it for you when he said it.
Now you don't want me to talk to people. So let me talk to
people. No.
Let me talk to people. Let me talk to people instead of talking to you. So
I know, because you're not going to win with me.
So here it is. Harry Belafonte and Jackie Robinson. That's the actor Harry Belafonte and the baseball player Jackie Robinson. They had an airlift for college students from Kenya. This is what they did. They brought them over to the West to study and get an education. Barack Obama Sr. meets Barack Obama's mother, who is from Kansas, through this college exchange. That's the birth of Barack Obama in Hawaii, not this ridiculous raggedy stories y'all read online where they make up this. Like, y'all think the Republicans are dumb? You think they wouldn't have used that if it was real? It's not real.
You haven't addressed anything I said yet.
Because you didn't say anything.
You can't do it, can you?
I just gave you the actual chain of custody of that man's birth, and you come up with this.
I didn't say anything about the location
Nonsense.
Of his birth, Naj.
Nonsense.
I didn't say anything about the location of his birth. See what I mean by straw man and red herrings? That's
not
what you do.
You
do not address the issue that I raised.
You where the man was
citizenship
I gave you,
his parents.
I gave you how it happened and where it happened.
See, this is what I mean.
It
doesn't
rings.
Matter. I'm not making that argument, Naj. I'm not making that argument, Naj. You're avoiding the one that I made.
I am going to bring Pianki into this interesting conversation.
Oh, mercy, man. Let's do it at
all
time.
We'll bring Pianki
hey.
In this discussion. Hey, Pianki.
Y'all really trying to start a fight.
Naj, every time you come around, you cause a bunch of goddamn trouble.
I accept that.
I like it.
I
actually
one
like
thing
that.
About the 14th is one thing about the 14th Amendment.
When he's actually allowed to
it
talk.
It didn't give citizenship to those slaves who were already born. Because you can't go back in time. But go ahead.
No, we were talking
so there
about
is
the eligibility
a,
of Nick. Well, they were talking about the eligibility of Nikki Haley. I went and looked it up because I'm like, wait a minute. Are they sure about this? So I look into it, and I see that this has become a big story. And people have been debunking it all week. So Reuters has a story on it. New York Times has a story on it. Vox has a story on it. Everybody's covering this right now. And what the scholarship is showing is that you guys are incorrect. So after this woman is
okay.
in office or not, you guys are still going to be saying she's ineligible when the actual process that plays out in real life shows that you're wrong. But you'll still keep saying it. So it is what it is.
Hey,
what I mean,
look
at me. You know, again, he did not address any issue that I raised. He made an argument that I didn't make, and he didn't purport to tell me my argument is wrong, and it wasn't even one that I made. One more time.
What we're saying is
that the best way for this to be settled is to bring it before an Article III court for a ruling on what constitutes an Article II eligible person. But we haven't had it yet. And you simply tell me that it's not necessary, even though it has never been addressed before.
So,
that's why I say
Sarge,
you have no
Sarge.
Interest in finding out what the truth is.
Or, Sarge, you can go to this chat room, and there's a three-minute interview with the Kenyan ambassador the morning after Obama was declared president. They're building, and he'll tell you, they're building a monument in front of the hospital he was built in.
And then I do have another Skype caller. I'm going to interrupt for a second. We got another Skype caller raising their hand. It might be John Doe. It might be somebody else. I want to find out who we got.
John Doe,
Hello.
I'm just getting in the – it's John Doe. I'm just getting in the queue to make sure it's all already open.
All right, perfect.
My
all right,
problem.
Hey, John Doe, good to see you making your
My
way here.
My problem with Barack Obama –
being born here was with the fact that Barack Obama's dad was never a citizen and never planned to become a citizen. All right? So he comes here on that scholarship. He does what he does with Barack Obama's mama. Barack Obama is born in Hawaii, all right? I'll give you that, all right? Fine.
No.
What Barack Obama Sr. does is he goes back to Africa. He goes back home, right? So he never became a citizen, and he never planned to become a citizen. So that in and of itself should have made Barack Obama ineligible.
Well, I don't think anybody would bring up somebody's intentions when they're looking at legalese, especially.
No, I'd rather go with the law, Naj, and you want to ignore the law.
Let me jump in here. Can I get in here a minute? I said a word all night. Let me get in for a minute. God damn it, Jesus fucking Christ! Hey, you motherfuckers, you got 11 minutes left. You got 11 fucking minutes left to call in now, or you're going to be lost. You're not going to listen to the rest of this bullshit. So you got 10 minutes left to call in now to Laurie and show, or you're a fucking punk. So get it done. Don't fuck around. Love y'all. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, we got 10 minutes left or so of the live broadcast. So if you want to call in, if you're out there listening and you haven't called in yet, please do so now before the live show ends in 10 minutes, 563-999-3698. That way you can continue to listen. And if you want to join the conversation, press 1. But do so within the next 10 minutes before we go into the bonus hour that is part of the show recording. But if you don't call in now before the live show ends, then you will have to listen to the bonus hour later. So very lively conversation. I always enjoy when Naj comes on. I don't know why you guys hate him so much.
I don't hate him. I hate his evasiveness.
I got one question. Hang on.
I don't think
he's
being
hang
evasive
on.
When somebody
got,
isn't being
is.
Allowed to actually
He always
talk
makes an argument that I don't make when I present it to him.
I have a question. Okay. Naj, who started this eligibility? Who started this eligibility argument and when?
Well, I mean, if y'all want to talk about the McCain one, that's, you know, not that big of a deal. The Trump bringing up Obama and then riding that to the White House is probably the, you know, that's probably the biggest example
okay.
you can use.
Let me answer the question, okay, that I just posed to you. The eligibility for Barack Hussein Obama was raised not by Donald Trump, not by any Republican.
You're talking about the Clintons
It was raised by Hillary Clinton.
One of Clinton's aides brought
okay.
it up. As a matter of fact, they had an interesting picture along with it, if you want to get into the racism of the Clintons. But that really didn't gain as much traction because basically the Democratic side didn't like it, and it actually hurt Hillary in the polls when she did it, and she ended up losing to Obama. Now, when Obama was in office and Trump used it, that became a significant push for him. So that's why that's the more important one. The Clinton one, I mean, what did
okay.
that do for her? Help her lose? You
okay.
see what I'm saying?
Okay, so now my question is this a legitimate argument to have and to find out and to make sure that each and every presidential candidate and vice presidential candidate are eligible by Section 2 or Article 2? Is that important, yes or no?
No.
It is not important.
And you know why? You know why?
Okay.
Because
okay.
candidates,
you just
Now let me speak. I answered your question. It's not important because candidates of that capacity on a stage that big, whether it's D or R, they are vetted in so many ways, backgrounds checked out in so many ways, that all of this information is actually available. This gotcha thing that you guys are doing, where you think this is some kind of important thing that's going to sink somebody's campaign, it doesn't matter.
Hey,
and that's what we're going to see going forward with both of these campaigns. This is not going to affect either one of their campaigns in any way.
Laurie, will you play that video?
Okay.
Hold on. Let me finish what I'm saying before you ask me another long-ass question. Let me finish what I'm saying. Nikki Haley's father worked at an HBCU. That's a historically black college or university. That was the only job he could get at the time because other places were freezing him out. And you know what he did? He sent Nikki Haley to an all-white college, and they tried to, you know, they tried to do their best to lighten her up and change her image as best they could. And now she comes up here, and she's running for president, and y'all come with this smear to let her know that she is not accepted amongst American, good old boy America. That's what's being done here. You guys can pussyfoot around, but that's what's being done.
Okay, so Naj.
Naj, wait a minute.
So what you just told me and the way you explained it to me tells me one thing, that Naj does not believe or care about the Constitution of the United States. Rip it up, throw it away, fuck it all.
Amen.
You're no good motherfucker.
That's what you just told me.
No, that tells me you're bad at comprehension. I just clarified why it's not that important of an issue, and yet you still say,
right.
Oh, that means you don't care about the Constitution. No, that's silly.
Point of order, Laurie Ann.
Are you up for the gentleman?
Thank you. Okay. Let's look at some facts in history. Kenya was a protectorate and a colony of Great Britain. It achieved its independence on the 12th of December, 1963.
Right.
British citizenship law was governed by the British Nationality Act of 1948. Any person born to any British subject of a colony of Great Britain was a British subject at birth. Let me say that again. Under the British Nationality Act of 1948, any child born to a citizen of any protectorate or colony under the sovereignty of Great Britain was a citizen, a subject of Great Britain, according to the British Nationality Act of 1948. Out of Barack Obama's own mouth, he said his father was Barack Obama Sr., a Kenyan national. That means that under British law, his son was a British subject at birth. And Naj, you are telling me that the framers of Article 2 would have been perfectly fine with a British subject being eligible to be president. The same thing goes for Kamala Harris, but in a slightly different manner, and I'd be happy to detail that when you actually respond to the argument that I am making.
Yeah, so I think the framers would have had a bigger problem with Barack Obama.
I'm citing British law. I'm citing the status of Kenya at the time of its alleged birth, August 4th, 1961, which Kenya was still a colony and a protector of Great Britain, which means that his birth to his Kenyan national father made him a British subject at birth, and you don't respond to it.
You didn't get a British subject.
He can't be a British subject. His teeth are changed. His teeth are perfect. Fuck. His teeth ain't fucked up like a Brit, so he's all right.
It was a good joke, though. Bad as
here's what I mean. See? Red herrings. You change the subject and don't answer. And make a straw man argument.
Man.
That's it.
So again,
Obama was two things. One, if his father was Muslim, he was Muslim. But most importantly, he was a British subject. His father was.
Yeah, so his mother was a U.S. citizen, and since we're in America, I have
no
idea.
That was a patriotic society.
And the frame of the Article 2 would have been just fine with a British subject being president. You saying the ones who had just fought a war against Great Britain would have been fine with a person born a British subject and not eligible under the Grandfather Clause becoming president of the United States. You see how absurd you sound?
No, you sound absurd. The first thing.
Say what I mean. You sound absurd. Okay. Yeah, you tell that to George. Have a seance with George Washington or John Adams or James Madison and ask them if they would have been okay.
At least let him have a sentence. All he said was three words.
He asked a question and then he talks over.
Can't have
that. That's the con he runs. So anyway, we're talking about his mother. As usual, because we're talking about American citizens. Now, y'all can bring up all the British nonsense y'all want to. The man served two terms.
Nonsense.
You're
wrong.
I understand you want to be right.
You know what I mean about
this. I gave you the training.
Here's the thing.
Hold on, man. Y'all keep talking over me while y'all asking questions. And what's wrong with y'all? So, this woman was
an
American citizen.
We ain't going to listen to no damn sermon now. Go ahead and hurry up.
So what are y'all doing then, if I'm sermonizing?
We're giving you facts. Do you deny any of the facts that I just gave you about the British Nationality Act of 1948 and the status of Kenya as a colony of Great Britain? Do you deny any of that is true?
I'm going to bring some order to this.
I don't know why I get
y'all
so worked up, man.
Sarge, kick back, let Naj respond, and then I want to give Bianchi the floor.
Okay,
so we can
cool.
take some turns here.
Go ahead.
So now I finish your thought, and then Bianchi, then you comment.
No, go ahead and give Bianchi the floor. They ain't gonna let me be heard, man. This is what they do. They run this con game.
You don't.
No,
answer.
You go ahead and go ahead while it's fresh on your mind, so you don't have time to clean it up. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's simple. It's simple.
Yeah. Do your best.
His birthright citizenship came from his mother. You guys can read all the online chat rooms, all the rumors online. Of things that are unverified, not provable, and have no standing. What actually happened was this man, born from his mother here, served two terms as president, and then you come in and tell me, oh, he shouldn't have been able to get in. He's ineligible. He's actually a British citizen. Dude, none of that shit matters. This is nonsense. And y'all doing the same thing to Nikki Haley because y'all got a little scared because y'all worried about y'all boy getting in trouble with the law.
Look,
so now y'all doing the same thing to Nikki Haley.
This is Obama. We're not talking about Nikki Haley.
This is nonsense. The dude who served two terms, it's already over. Y'all lost that argument. Keep fighting it, though.
Okay, see, he didn't answer anything I brought up. He said, well, I was making up things, and I literally cited
nonsense.
The British citizenship law, and I cited the status of the nation of Kenya, which is not arguable as a matter of historical fact, and you don't respond to it. You just dismiss it.
Yes, the same way he did when he walked in.
And you're saying it's irrelevant because his mother was a citizen, so therefore his father's status, which conferred citizenship on him at birth, is irrelevant. It has no bearing on anything.
Exactly. Now you get
That's his argument. Here's the point here is that it's two things that was bestowed upon Obama.
I'm not yelling, sir. I'm asking you to respond to my argument, which you repeatedly refuse to do other than scoffing and dismissing it all outright. You offer no counter-argument other than dismissal of it.
After this, let's go to something else. But now the thing is that Obama was two things. One, his daddy was a Muslim, so under their doctrine, he would have been a Muslim. And as Sarge said, Kenya was a British protectorate, and it had jurisdiction over Kenya, so he would have been a British subject. His father was. That's
well,
a patriarch society. What the mother brought to the picture don't mean jack.
Well, obviously it does, because he served two terms. You guys are wrong.
No, that's
okay. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, Dred Scott. Yeah, what about the Dred Scott decision, Roe versus Wade?
They
were court decisions, weren't they?
You're right, Naj. He served two illegal terms.
Yes.
Fine. Take his name off the wall if that makes you happy. It happened.
Okay, now, so you don't respond to our arguments. That's why we have to do this with you.
No, because these arguments are worth.
Because you will not
these
respond to the arguments that we make.
These are silly arguments. And y'all, like I said, y'all doing the same thing to Nikki Haley. She's gonna. She's. I don't think she's gonna win, but she's gonna have the opportunity to win. And when she loses, it won't be because you guys did some gotcha birth certificate nonsense again.
Nikki Haley was born an Indian citizen under Indian citizenship law. She was born a citizen of India, whether you want to admit it or not.
She was born in 1972 in South Carolina.
I'm
going to
say it again. She was a citizen of the United States and a citizen of India. Under both of those countries' laws, she was simultaneously born a citizen of India and of the United States. Under both of those countries, valid
so
citizenship
run.
Laws. A natural-born citizen can have only one legal allegiance.
Nikki Haley was under the jurisdiction of India.
Yeah, so again, she's born in South Carolina. She's
going to even countenance the possibility.
You guys are going
to
make these arguments, and it's not going to matter. But hold on, before you think about all of this.
That may be true. If we want to argue that, then I will say, Naj, now you got a point. But you don't say that.
Okay.
You say what we say isn't true.
I'll just end this like this. The funniest part about all of this is you guys talk about Kamala Harris. Her father is an actual Marxist and a socialist. She's the only one who's actually like that. Barack Obama's family's not like that. The other ones aren't like that, but her father is an actual Marxist.
Yeah.
He used to teach here in the United States. A lot of his work is cited by Marxists. That's the funny thing. But here's the kicker.
He changed the
subject. Now, there is no constitutional impediment to the country electing a Marxist. The country can elect a Marxist if it wants to. There is no constitutional provision on electing
a
Marxist.
I'm not going to take
on your way out. Don't bother to close the door. We got an automatic closer on it.
No, y'all just acting like suckers because y'all can't handle real arguments.
No, you respond to what we say.
No, you're doing it again.
You can elect a Marxist if you want to. There's no constitutional prohibition to electing a Marxist. There is a constitutional prohibition to electing someone who is not a natural-born citizen.
There is not. And you've been proven wrong twice.
God, man, I don't know why you didn't bring the Constitution.
President. You're wrong. Okay, so the reason I brought that up
okay,
is
so Nathan
Barack
put,
was always charged.
I'm going to inject. Sorry, Naj, everybody, but I'm going to inject. Nathan put a clip in and asked me to play it, so I'm going to. It's only 3 minutes. Kenyan ambassador admits Obama was born in Kenya. And so Nathan put this in. I'm going to play it real quick, and that way Naj and everybody else can respond afterwards. So here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3, and go.
Well, listen, we want to congratulate you on Barack Obama, is our new president, and you must be very proud.
We are.
Yes.
We really are. We're also proud of the U.S. For having made history as well.
Hey, one more quick question. Our president-elect Obama's birthplace over in Kenya, is that going to be a national spot to go visit where he was born?
It's already an attraction. His paternal grandmother is still alive.
But his birthplace, they'll put up a marker there?
It will depend on the government. It's already well known, as I say.
You know, thank you, Your Excellency, for your time.
Well, thank you so very much, guys, for your excitement and for congratulating us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. You have a nice day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Did you catch that?
Not a lot of it.
Mike, you basically admitted that President-elect Obama was born there.
Yes, he did.
That's what I was asking him. Remember the controversy about...
I do, about Hawaii and...
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Some guy with an
accent.
What's
the order of response,
there's another one in
Laurie.
There's another link in there about
Laurie
the monument.
Laurie said she was going to... Laurie said she was going to call on each of us in turn and respond. So what's the order of response, Laurie?
Well, Nathan wanted Naj to respond to that, so I guess I'll open it up for Naj first. Then Nathan, since you provided the clip, and then Sergeant Pianki.
Yeah, so good job, Nathan. You found the hoax video that everybody's seen. I think it's like 20 million views or something crazy like that. But, yeah, so some person who didn't know what they were talking about made a statement. But you know what we actually have? The flight logs. We have the flight logs from Kenya of the student who came over, and Barack Obama Sr.'s name is on the flight logs. You know what else we have? Jackie Robinson's wife, who's still alive, talks about it in the documentary about Jackie, about one of the, you know, great things they did in their lives was bringing students over to America so they can get an education. And they talk about the fact that Barack Obama Sr. happened to be one of them, and it led to this other thing that happened later on. So, yeah, you guys can bring up all the hoaxes you want to, but the man was born at that hospital, and the relationship was set up, basically, by two really famous people, which makes it even more intriguing because you usually don't have evidence like that. But Harry Belafonte, well, and Jackie Robinson, you can look all
well, there, up. There, okay, well, there's another link in there about the monument in front of the hospital. Maybe you can clear that up, too. I put it in the – in the
why wouldn't they
room.
Put up a monument in front of a hospital and make some money? Why wouldn't they?
Well, because that's where he was born. I would imagine you would.
Hell,
put it
Kobe
up there.
Has a Kobe has a statue in front of Staples Center. Was he born in L.A.? No, he's born in Italy. What difference does it make?
Okay. Can I go now? Okay.
Nathan, you had. Okay.
Yeah, I'm done.
As long as Nathan had his turn, then Sarge, Pianchi, if you want to speak up, go for it as well. Okay, everybody
hello?
Gets quiet. So, all right.
I'm
Sarge,
ready to
go.
Just tell me. Let me know when I come out to shoot. I'm ready to go right now.
All right.
Hey,
go ahead, Sarge.
Okay. Nikki Haley. Hold on now. Nikki Haley was born Nimrata Nikki Radhawa to immigrant Indian Punjabi Sikh parents at Bamberg County Hospital in Bamberg, South Carolina. Her father, Ajit Singh Radhawa, and her mother, Raj Kaur Radhawa, immigrated to the United States from Amritsar District, Punjab, India. Her father was formerly a professor at Punjab Agricultural University, and her mother got a law degree from the University of Delhi. Haley was known under a middle name, a Punjabi name, from her earliest years. Now, this is from the Indian Citizenship Act of 1955, which I did not write or legislate. I went to the website for the Indian Consulate and got this from that act, which was extant when Nikki Haley was born. Citizenship by descent. Every person born outside India shall be a citizen of India by descent. If both the parents or either of them is an Indian citizen, not being an illegal migrant, provided his or her birth is registered at an Indian mission post abroad within 1 year of the post. Now, under this law, Nikki Haley was born a citizen of India at her birth. This is similar to our law, our Immigration and Naturalization Act of 1953, which says that if you have one citizenship parent and you have a child born, one U.S. citizen parent, and that child is born to you anywhere on the planet, that child is granted citizenship by statute. Nikki Haley got her citizenship by virtue of the 14th Amendment, because if the 14th Amendment did not exist, she would not even be a citizen, even if her parents were lawfully resident here. It took the 14th Amendment for her to even be a citizen. The 14th Amendment did not refer to or modify Article 2 in any way, shape, form, or fashion, no matter what your fancy pants Harvard professors say. Every other amendment that modifies another one has to have some oblique or peripheral reference to the other amendment being altered or modified or abolished, as in the case of the 18th Amendment, which got rid of prohibition. It doesn't have it, Naj. It simply established citizenship for any person born to parents who are lawfully resident in the country. That's all it does.
All right, my turn. Amendment 14, Section 1.
all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, or citizens of the United States. An illegal that give birth to a baby in the United States, that baby is subject to the country where they came from. If that illegal has problems, they run to the embassy in the United States from the country that they came from. If they El Salvador, they run to the El Salvador embassy to seek refuge. Simple as that.
That sounds like preaching. Let's take up an offer.
Let me ask a silly question here. Okay. Why would a nation construct a statue of a native son that has done well?
To honor that,
because
that,
they are
because
they are proud of him. Am I right in that aspect?
That's a safe assumption, yes.
Okay. Explain to me why Kenya is erecting a monument to a United States citizen as a native son of Kenya.
Because they know the truth.
Because they're not dumb.
They know the truth.
No, because they're not dumb. Why wouldn't
they? Oh, for God's sake. Oh, they just get foreign aid, right? Now, that's the reason they
tourism,
didn't. They get foreign aid, right?
Tourism. Why wouldn't you do that? I don't get the point here. I understand you think
you're
making
don't.
A really
I know, and
point.
I know you.
Why would,
you don't
why, would, why would why would a grandmother claim that her grandchild was born in Kenya wherever they were born? A grandmother. She has no dealings with this other than she has a grandchild that she wants to hold and cuddle and do all the grandmotherly things. Claim that her grandson was born in Kenya.
Let me get down to the nitty-gritty. The reason why come Barack Obama's black Kenyan father wanted to marry a white American woman so he could come to the United States. It goes on all
Remains.
The time.
Yeah,
they call it. They call it a botched marriage. It's on the books today.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was about to get kicked out of the country. See, his student visa was about to expire. By marrying Ann Dunham, it was able to be extended.
Yep. That's right.
Why would a United States citizen go to school as a foreign student and carry a foreign student ID card?
I don't know. I feel like tonight we could probably solve the Kennedy murder.
Dismissing your
friend.
He doesn't respond to arguments. He does it every single time.
Here's the thing I ask of Naj. Would you take your arguments and everything that you said to Article 3 court, present your evidence and get the Article 3 court to agree with you and say everything is right. And when you have that all taken care of, then you can come back to us and tell us that we're all full of shit.
No. The thing is, my evidence is.
Are you afraid that your arguments will not hold up in an Article III court?
No, I'm trying to explain that to you right now. So my evidence is, this is the chain of custody. We have the people who flew the people over. We have the time in school. We have the two people meeting. Your evidence is there's a YouTube video of a guy saying this, who you claim that he's a Kenyan official. And then we have this video where he said, oh, his grandmother said this, so therefore. Like, that's your evidence. Your evidence is two verbal things said by Kenyans, and my evidence is a flight log, a birth certificate, a hospital, and the infamy of the people who actually made the thing happen, meaning a famous baseball player, Hall of Famer, and a famous actor, humanitarian.
That
okay.
Well,
let me ask you this.
Your evidence
okay.
is shit.
Just as a point of reference, Jeffrey Epstein's flight log has all sorts of pedophiles on it. Because you got documents of flight logs and everything else. That is pure evidence that pedophiles and people of ill-gotten gain know that man, knew that man, flew that man, and interacted with that man. Yet none of them have been charged or gone to prison because of a flight log.
Yes. That is why official documents are considered exceptions to the hearsay rule. That is why.
I can answer all your questions.
Everything that you claim that we presented from YouTube videos and all of that can all be brought into court as evidence. Not so much the videos themselves, but the people behind the videos. And have them bring their evidence into court.
Well, can I present my evidence?
Good luck with
this.
Good luck with that.
I mean, I really ain't been talking much. I'm getting my drink on. I really am smoking some weed. But since I'm smoking up weed, drinking up Stoli Baca, I feel great. But here's the answer, which you all are fucking arguing over. You're arguing over this motherfucker's right to be a president because they born here, got born there. It don't matter when you're born to be a president of the United States. It don't matter. And don't start. I know I hear your mouth starting already. Shut the fuck up. Listen to me. They're presidents of a corporation. They ain't presidents of a goddamn country. That's your whole mystery
right.
shit. I mean, that's a simple fact. There's just no way around it. Barack Obama
yep.
might have been bombed and bumped up to Fiji. It don't matter. He's a president of a corporation. Not
of
a country.
Corporation.
Not
yep,
of a
the corporation.
Corporation. That's right. So that answers the whole goddamn question. So if you're born in bumfuck media or up somebody's asshole and you want to run for fucking president, can't speak a lick of fucking English, you can do that. So it's a corporation. Corporations are different than countries. Corporations are different than the Constitution. The Constitution is to protect the people from the corporation that's running the show. People fail to understand that. You can't reference the Constitution to be a fact of law.
Well,
it's a fact of rule.
Let me ask a question to that. So,
okay.
According to the 14th Amendment, Section 1, we are citizens of a corporation?
We are the citizens of a corporation. That's right.
What's the name of it?
Bianchi, you know this
yeah.
world. The 14th Amendment was never fucking recognized.
It's recognized until Congress decides on it. Not the courts. It's for the Congress decides of it. So
I understand that.
Where it says all persons born are naturalized in the United States, or should I say the corporation is subject to
jurisdiction. Maybe for benefit.
We're residents, not citizens anymore.
Right. It has nothing actually to do with the government itself. The government's corporation. It ain't what you think it is. Everybody believes in shit. It's one of this fucking big corporation that runs the show. And, you know, look, man, look at all the evidence. You got lobbyists to go for these companies and pay off to get a fucking special deal so you can get by with the ruling by the ruling of the fucking, you know, government. The government is the one that sets up the rules. Not, there's not, these aren't fucking laws. These are rules.
Your de facto.
They pay to get away. That's what it is, man.
I just unmuted Robert. All right, let's get back to the media to let everybody know. I just unmuted him because I don't know if he
pressed
on and it
wasn't working.
Poor Robert,
why would you do that to him? Damn, Lori, why would you do that to him?
Well, if the Constitution is irrelevant because we're a corporation, then we might as well not get angry when we get our houses searched without a warrant, when we are told that anything we say can be used against us even if we don't say it, because the Constitution doesn't matter, because we're a corporation. There's no point in trying to enforce any provision of the Constitution because we're not really a country, because the Constitution doesn't really exist.
You have two constitutions operating side by side, parallel right now.
You gotta know something. The Constitution is supposed to protect you and me, not them fuckers.
Exactly.
Well, don't you, Sarge?
Since we're a corporation, what provisions of the Constitution should we attempt to invoke, and what provisions of the Constitution should we ignore? I want a specific answer. What portions of the Constitution should we ignore, and
what contracts have you agreed to in your lifetime, Sarge? What contracts have you agreed to in your lifetime?
Will you please answer my question? It's a basic question.
Let me help you. Let me answer this question.
What portions of the Constitution have been rendered nugatory by the fact that we're a corporation?
Sarge.
This is why I can't get answers to questions.
Let him answer.
Give me a minute. I'll explain myself to you what I'm talking about. They did this under the fucking Federal Reserve Act. How this shit got really started by how we no longer have the power of the Constitution as much as we should have. We gave consent. You're as a child, when you go to school and you pledge allegiance to the United States of America.
Wait, you pledge allegiance to America.
Hold on, hang on a minute. Finish. You ain't paying what you pledge allegiance to America. You're paying allegiance to the United States of America. Of it. The OF, man. Of. The Constitution was designed by the framers to protect the people from this government, these fucking tyrannical governments we live under. But, you know, of course, money talks, man. So they knew this shit was going to get bad and go south. So, anyway, so the criminal part that fucks us over all the time that we should not have to fucking deal with and admit all these fucking so-called laws, which are rules, said, well, we got to try something different. We got to get these fucking American people of America, American citizens, we got to get these dumb motherfuckers to give us consent under contract.
Yeah.
And that's what they did.
Yep.
And that's what you've done.
Well,
we've done. We've all done. And never knew you were doing it. Never fucking knew you were doing it from birth. That's
where
it starts.
The Reserve Act can be declared unconstitutional at any moment.
It is. Absolutely it is.
It's not.
It's a
part
of the
corporation. It's not part of the Central Bank of England,
they fucking tried to get you tied before that. The Federal Reserve is still the Central Bank of England, and that's that. Plain and simple, you have to get a difference between corporation and rules of law.
Getting back to the
Article 2 has no significance for anything because of this Incorporation Act. Prior to
the Reconstruction Acts and the unconstitutional 14th Amendment to the Constitution, the federal government had no control, right, and no authority over our lives or property.
Then you bring
the Patriot Act,
and there's another one. Fine, fuck you.
Indirect
more control.
I mean. We've been over this already.
They've been doing this shit for a long time. This ain't nothing new.
Well, getting back to the argument we was having with Obama, Obama was born a subject of a British protectorate, not the United States.
That's okay. Nothing wrong with it. He's running for presidency of a corporation out of the country.
Yeah, look, I got to answer my question finally. So you're saying that Article 2 and much of the Constitution is nugatory, having no value or no meaning, no importance,
because of this Incorporation Act of 1871. That sounds like you answered my question. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, kind of sums it up a little bit there, Sarge.
Yeah, I mean,
that's bullshit.
I don't believe that.
Maybe so, I don't either. But the point I'm saying to you, man, is they stuck it to us. They're fucking us, dude.
Yeah.
They changed shit over. They want not what you want. They don't give a fuck
Ron,
about you, me.
Ron, everything that you said, Lorianne, remember about a couple months ago, I played a 7-minute video, and everybody was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Remember, we went over this. How our citizenship was stolen. We went over this. We explained it in fine detail. Sorry, you know better. You should know. You were there on that call.
I did. And remember, I went to the act itself, and I pointed out the definitions in the act. I went to the act of 1871, and I read from the act. And the act said it was an administrative provision for the collection of revenue. And it applied to those agencies that were responsible for collecting government revenue. It's right there in the act itself. That's what corporation meant in terms of act. I read it directly from the act itself.
Yeah, Paul, that's right. You may be right, but there's consent given somewhere along the line. It doesn't matter.
It'll say something, but
it doesn't mean it's a goddamn fucking truth to what the reality of what you're doing. That's just part of the piece of the puzzle.
Well, it may be unconstitutional. Now, I'm not saying
Gibson, if you have the link handy to the video, put it in the chat, and I'll see if I can
I'll put a link to the act on the government website so you guys can
Please try to avoid talking over the host of the show. You are not paid for this. I am. So when I am speaking, please shut your mouth. Okay. Gibson, if you have
you
the
go.
Link, please put it in the chat, and I'll try to zoom in and play it.
I just did.
Okay.
I just put it there for you.
But the main point of the conversation was the citizenship.
Yeah, Jimmy, she's out of her mind. I've got to get away from this. I can't do it no more.
The citizenship status of Haley's parents or Obama's parents.
I don't know.
Matter.
I'm emotional wreck. I need Xanax. Yeah,
Baseball
I've been drinking and smoking a lot. Yeah.
You all right, Ron? You all right, man? But the main
I'm getting ripped. I love this.
Ron, they were trying to make this argument based on the idea of, okay, her parents weren't citizens at the time, therefore she's eligible. That's incorrect.
Right.
That's not what the 14th Amendment
said. Right.
She was born here, therefore she's eligible to run. Same with Brian.
Well,
same with these other stories.
She's a citizen. She's not eligible.
Indians were subject to tribal jurisdiction
were not citizens of the United States until 1924. They were born here too.
That doesn't matter.
See, that's what I mean about you. You don't respond to the arguments that I make.
She has to be subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. She wasn't.
You guys can yell that to y'all red in the face. It doesn't matter.
I will only accept that when an Article 3 court agrees with you. When an Article 3 court agrees with you on the matter, then I'll rest the subject. Until I maintain what I say is correct, you can say what you believe to be correct, and that's fine with me. But I am not going to accept what you say until an Article 3 court agrees with you.
Doesn't matter. She's running, ain't she?
And then I agree with you there.
They're letting her get away with it. They're arguing because they can't admit that they fell for a hoax online.
No. You can't admit that you don't know how to make an argument.
Can you play that video?
I got to acknowledge this, man. Because like I said, it's corporate controlled. It ain't what you think, man.
It shuts down their whole argument, Ron. Well, that video shuts everybody's argument down.
One thing you guys are right about, might makes right, and since might makes right, correct. She's getting away with it. They're letting her do it for all practical purposes. She's a natural-born citizen since they're letting her get away with it. But I still say to you, until this matter is decided by an Article III court, I will never accept that she's eligible, and millions of others who think like me will not either. Get it in the court.
Let's have you decide it officially,
not by what I say or by what you say.
I want to play that clip that Joe Gibson put, state citizenship and introduction. I'm going to play that here real quick, especially since I only have about 25 minutes left before my switchboard shuts down. And I never did get to play the clip that I wanted to for Robert. Maybe I can still get to that before we go into No Man's Land. This is a clip that Joe Gibson wanted us to play in regard to state citizenship that explains everything. So let's all mute ourselves on your end, and let's go ahead and listen to it. It's about 7 minutes.
Lori, I'm simulcasting on Mixler, so please try it.
Our state, the North Carolina American Republic, thanks you for your interest in state citizenship. We're excited to see growing numbers participating in the movement to reestablish and repopulate lawful states. It is important that you first educate yourself as to why and how our original state of North Carolina was reestablished, and it's vital that you understand both who we are and who we are not. In this video, we'll cover the historical and legal background, the consequences of unlawful states, and how you can become a state citizen and be part of the movement to reestablish lawful states. The reestablishing of our original state of North Carolina in 1997 was based upon the position that our state, meaning our constitution and form of government, as well as our people or body politic, was purportedly and unconstitutionally annulled and put into abeyance shortly after the Civil War by a series of legislative acts called the Reconstruction Acts. The Reconstruction Acts eliminated state citizenship and inverted American government, creating a new national, indefinite supremacy over all persons and things. Today we see fully nationalized states, all comprised of a nationalized, homogeneous citizenry, whose protections and benefits, however defined, are determined at the national level and not strictly at the state level as they once were. The end game of Reconstruction was to compel the nationalization of citizenship through the 14th Amendment. As opposed to a readmission of the original states back into the Union, as many have taught, Reconstruction disenfranchised original state citizens and created new states for a nationalized citizenry. A new state of North Carolina entered the Union during this time, even though our original state was still in lawful operation. Today we're overwhelmed by branch consequences that stem from this root of nationalized citizenship and federally created states. Firstly is the case of state sovereignty. States prior to the 1860s decided for their own political bodies where they stood on divisive and moral issues, and most at this time did stand on a religious foundation. Today, nationalized citizenship eliminates the liberty of states to choose their own destiny. For example, Roe v. Wade universally legalized abortion across the United States in 1973 based upon the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. Stone v. Graham held that the display of the Ten Commandments was unconstitutional, thanks to the 14th Amendment. An Abington School District v. Shemp held that school prayer was unconstitutional based upon the 14th Amendment. Another branch is the massive growth in the scale of the federal government. The CIA, FBI,
IRS, the Department of Education, the Federal Reserve, Homeland Security, Patriot Act 1, Patriot Act 2, the Military Commissions Act, the NDAA, the EPA, and the NSA are just a few examples of the increase in the scope of the federal government since the 1860s. With the Civil War and Reconstruction combined, we find at least 15 distinct violations of the Constitution, which resulted in the purported annulment of 10 states of the American Union, including North Carolina, as well as the nationalization of every state, North and South. In 1997, a contingent of individuals living in North Carolina, recognizing that violations of the Constitution create no law, together reestablished or reclaimed the original state of North Carolina, her Constitution, and her system of government. The reestablished state was called the North Carolina American Republic to keep it distinct from the de facto state of North Carolina. The North Carolina American Republic, or NCAR, is composed of state citizens who are loyal to the maintenance and defense of our original lawful state. Our state convenes on a regular basis. It has a body politic, a government body, and a treasury. Citizens of our reestablished de jure state have taken the matter to court in various cases, demanding that the de facto state of North Carolina prove its lawfulness. We highly encourage you to continue your study of the historical, political, and legal background of our reestablished state. This is the legal foundation upon which you will defend your citizenship status. To test your knowledge, we require all interested individuals to fill out and submit the in-depth questionnaire on our website as a prerequisite for obtaining a citizenship packet. By studying the reference materials and resources here on ncrepublic.org, as well as americasremedy.com, future citizens of our de jure state will be well educated on matters regarding the foundation of our state's reestablishment and will better understand who we are and who we are not. Becoming a citizen of the North Carolina American Republic is not a complicated process. However, it's not something to be taken lightly or hurriedly. You should understand that it does require some time as well as patience. Once you have a thorough understanding of how and why the NCAR was reestablished, you'll need to complete a citizenship questionnaire.
Ain't nobody saying nobody.
You'll find a link to the...
bogus citizenship.
Yeah, I cut off the last couple of minutes because I think we got the...
Yeah, that's just at the end. That's fine. But the logistics of it is what you guys are arguing about is you're not the citizens. You're not a citizen. You're not a citizen of the original republic. It doesn't matter what Obama did or anything. The de facto corporation owns us. And until we break away from it and understand how we got to where we're at, none of that argument stuff matters, man. None of it matters.
Well, you know, Joe, on kind of along the same lines with that, I was going through some stuff you sent me on your case. You know what? You need to get an ambulance chasing lawyer and start suing the government for big bucks and a big old apology letter.
No kidding.
Jimmy, you paid your price. You paid your price. You paid your price for any mistakes you made. And now when you want to run for office, they want to start saying you're not allowed to run and there's no law. You need to bury some of these people's political careers.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, I'm working on that, but I appreciate you saying that. I'm glad you recognize that because you're obviously one of the awake people because a lot of people have contacted me and said the same thing.
Well, but here's the thing. You know, if you made a mistake way back and we all grow, we all make mistakes, some of us a little bit more stupid than others or maybe we're in situations for whatever. But the thing is, it's wrong. You shouldn't have did it. You did it. And here's the thing. You paid the price. And now when you're riding down the road, a cop decides I'm going to run your license plate. And it's like, because you got a record, I'm going to pull this guy over and let the dogs do a walk around and start asking him questions. And you know what? You never do. You just never, it's too easy for you to step in a pile of poop, you know, because they're cornering you. And you can get emotional and they'll say, oh, he was resisting arrest, so we had to tackle him, you know?
Yeah.
You paid your price. You admitted what you did was wrong. You also exposed some people that were screwing people but the thing is you paid for anything you did. You don't owe anybody and you need to quit owing it. You need to quit paying what you don't owe.
Yeah, you're right. But they're trying to use it against me though, that's for sure.
Well, they'd be leaving you alone if you wasn't running for office.
I read in this 1871 Act, it just established the District of Columbia.
Yeah. But that you're right. That's our new government right there, yeah. That's the United States corporate government.
And it says that, not inconsistent with the Constitution and the laws of the United States and the provisions of this act.
Imagine if we all understood that, Bianca. Imagine that.
It can't supersede. It can't supersede the U.S. Constitution. Now, here's the thing. You in North Carolina, you're running for state legislature. That's where you need to start this at. You can't start at the top.
I'm trying, Bianca. I'm trying.
Let me finish then. I hope you win, and we want to see. That's where it has to be started at. It has to be started with the states.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
You
and that's why I'm trying.
You're not going to convince people at the other end of what you're talking about. It has to be started in the states.
You're right.
Simple as
that. I agree 100%.
And getting back to the other thing that we was arguing that we're not, Obama was born under the jurisdiction of the British. That's what the country was at the time. His father was under that jurisdiction. Therefore, he is. Plus, his father being a Muslim, in their tradition, therefore the son is a Muslim.
Right, and that's the thing. And it was never going to be adjudicated in an Article III court because they wanted that first black president.
You're absolutely
right. That's what that
right.
was all about.
It was a big-ass double Trump, triple ace, race card. That's what it was. That's what it was all
yes,
about.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
You go out
and
trying
you know
to
what,
say
and
that
you
this
know what,
black
really?
Man. You go out and try to say that this black man is not legitimate. Then all of a sudden you are racist. That's why they played it.
And you notice how often they accuse us of bad faith and conspiracy theories and all that. And when I brought this up to Naj, I listed facts from his own mouth what Louis' father was. We know this is what he said. We know he's a liar, so he could be lying about it. I've been saying it's entirely possible he is a natural-born citizen because both of his parents were American citizens when he was born. He just wanted to posit himself as some sort of exotic that white suburban women would fall in love with and vote for him for because he's a liar. But I'm going by what he says. So since he says his father was Barack Obama Sr., I'm going to roll with that. And if that is true, this ain't got a damn thing to do with conspiracy. Kenya was a British protector and a colony of Great Britain. It was subject to the British Citizenship Act of 1948. Every child
can I
ask a question? Any British subject anywhere in the world
times,
is a citizen of Great Britain. That's not a conspiracy. It is a fact.
I think if you guys say that 50 more times, it'll actually be true.
That's what I mean about him. He did it again. He did
it
again.
Sarge, are you a reverend?
Here we go.
Are you a preacher?
Hey guys,
are you a reverend?
Can I inject here? At the beginning of the show, I wanted to play a clip for Robert, Conservative Nation Media, but he wasn't on yet. Before my switchboard goes down in 14 minutes, I want to be able to play it because it's a Colio Noir.
Go to Crazy Nation Radio. She'll still be on till fucking the sun comes up.
Anyway. I know, but on my show, I wanted to play it before my switchboard goes down.
I'm dragging it. I'll send it all to you.
And dedicate it to Robert because I know that Robert is such a fan of his Governor Grisham when it comes to gun control. So this is Colio Noir. I'm going to go ahead and play it before we go dead, and then we'll go into no man's land, I'm sure. But, yeah, this was the clip that I mentioned at the earlier start of the show that I wanted to play when Robert's on. And so since he's here and he's listening, this is for Robert and all of us to comment on.
I'll post the number to, you know, Mixler. So in case we all lose it, we'll know where to go. So write that number down.
Perfect. Yeah, it's in the chat. Go ahead and put it in the chat again in case we do lose everything. You never know what Blog Talk Radio is going to do once No Man Land starts. But here we go.
Yeah,
and this is dedicated
and maybe
to
we
you,
can
Robert.
Argue about cases that aren't solved.
Thank you.
That'll be good.
No problem.
I'm not a fan of her, though.
I know. I was being sarcastic.
I was
you
say
love her.
Bad,
yeah, I know you love her. We all love Governor Grisham of New Mexico, don't we? Here we go.
Remember when the governor of New Mexico tried to do this nonsense?
The governor today said she was expecting pushback, but she held her ground as she announced a 30-day ban on open and concealed carry laws in Bernalillo County.
The governor's public health order states gun violence and drug abuse statewide has caused a health emergency. It then lists orders, including stating, no person other than law enforcement officers or licensed security officers shall possess a gun openly or concealed in public. The governor says she knows criminals won't listen to this order, but she hopes the public will.
You'd think after the court smacked down her attempt to ban the right to keep and bear arms because it's unconstitutional as hell, and even her own citizens were like, what are you doing? She would take the hint and stop trying to pass unconstitutional gun laws. But being the Hillary Clinton suit-wearing protege tyrant that she is, instead she took it as a challenge because now she's doing this.
The governor presented a package of roughly 20 bills, of which she claims almost all have bipartisan support.
This is the biggest, most comprehensive public safety package, I think, probably in the history of the legislature.
The governor identifying nearly 21 proposed bills and ideas Friday aimed at tackling public safety in New Mexico, which she says largely have bipartisan support.
It's the most together we've been on addressing public safety, crime, and gun violence since I've been involved in government, and certainly since I've been the governor.
Much of the list sets its sights on gun regulation.
We have a gun problem, ladies and gentlemen, and we have a public safety problem. We have a responsibility to our children, to families, to communities to solve it, and I believe this package goes a long way to do just that.
Notable among them, a push for strict rules on assault weapons, including penalties for having one. That idea sponsored by Representative Andrea Romero.
This bill takes a new approach to regulating assault weapons by preventing modifications that the gun manufacturers might try to make to skirt around the law.
Romero is also bringing back her bill for a 14-day waiting period for firearm sales. Representative Rena Schapansky is fighting again to raise the legal age to buy guns to 21. And Senate Majority Floor Leader Peter Wirth is also trying to revive his bill banning guns in polling places.
Guns and voting is a toxic combination.
The governor is also pushing for harsher criminal punishments, like making a felon with a firearm punishable by up to 9 years in prison. The governor is also trying to make her public health order banning guns in parks and playgrounds permanent with new law.
I believe unequivocally that the vast majority, if not all of these bills, pass this legislative session.
Lou Anne Grisham is an anti-2A political Karen of sorts, who sees herself as a ruler of New Mexico, and she's got a whole gang of anti-2A political Karens behind her. You know how I'm always talking about the anti-2A lobby and their bought and paid for politicians? Well, you're looking at them, and you don't even realize it. You see, those women in the background in this video wearing the red shirts that say Moms Demand Action, that is one of the biggest arms of the anti-2A lobby, once funded by megalomaniac anti-2A billionaire Michael Bloomberg. You see this lady here? She is the vice president of Everytown, the biggest anti-2A group initially funded by Bloomberg that makes up another part of the anti-2A lobby, who is literally giving a speech at what should be an objective solution-finding event. The anti-2A lobby owns New Mexico and a bunch of other states, if we're going to be honest about it. If the governor was really trying to find a solution, she'd also be surrounded by pro-2A people wearing Keep New Mexico Tactical shirts like the shirt I'm wearing right now in this video. This shirt is part of Keep America Tactical Collection, available right now at shop.mrcoleonnoir.com. The collection consists of all of the U.S. states, including New Mexico, as a way to let the anti-2A lobby and their politicians know that we intend to keep America tactical. I'll put a link in the description section of this video to get your state-specific Keep America Tactical shirts, hats, and drinkware. Now, clearly any politician who is being objective would put people from both sides of the issue, but she's more or less bought and paid for by the anti-2A lobby, so that ain't happening. This obsession with banning so-called assault weapons is just an excuse to ban all semi-auto guns. We know this. Most gun violence is committed with semi-auto handguns. There isn't a scourge of AR-15 violence in New Mexico, or even the country as a whole. It's in the bottom end of guns used in gun violence crimes. But they know once they can get the AR-15s, the handguns will be a lot easier, because nothing will change because most gun violence is committed with handguns, and they'll have the perfect excuse to justify banning those as well. That's essentially what she tried to do last year. And a 14-day waiting period to buy a gun is just absurd. Like, you're not even trying to hide the fact that you're just trying to make it as hard as possible for law-abiding citizens to exercise their 2A rights. Criminals don't buy guns legally, so having a 14-day waiting period to buy a gun does nothing to stop the criminal from buying a gun illegally. That's how stupid these waiting period laws are. They literally incentivize buying guns illegally and then punish people who buy guns legally. You'd actually save more lives by increasing the penalty for criminals caught with guns like it does here, while making it even easier for the law-abiding to get guns legally, because then criminals would be less willing to be caught with a gun because the risk of real jail time would be too high. And because now the law-abiding, who would have otherwise been victims of these criminals, all have legal guns now. But the motive with these laws isn't to empower the people, it's to control them. So she'd never do that because it's much harder to oppress an armed society. And another thing, you see how she was like, oh, when I ban the ability to carry a gun in public, it's only going to be temporary.
And it's not a ban. It's a temporary pause,
okay,
so that we can make this community safer.
I don't understand why everybody is so mad about it. It's only temporary. Then I did my video where I said, this ain't going to be temporary. What happens after 30 days when nothing changes? She's going to have to keep extending this order indefinitely. She's going to say it's temporary now, and then when it comes to an end, she's going to say we need to reinstate it again and make it permanent. Now look what she's doing. She's now trying to make it permanent. So when I tell you that these people, if you give them an inch, they will take a mile, it's happening right in front of your face. It's right there. She's doing exactly what I said she would do. That's what these anti-2A politicians and the anti-2A lobby do. They try to get an inch from you by trying to shame you, make you feel guilty about the fact that you won't just vote for this common sense gun measure to protect the kids and save lives. And that's all we're asking for. And then you give them that, and the next thing you know, something else comes around. They're asking for it again, but even more so. So miss me with all this notion of, oh, it's just going to be a common sense gun measures. It's not common sense. They want to make it permanent, and they're going to keep going and keep going until they get exactly what they want, which is a complete and utter ban of the Second Amendment. Now, don't forget to share this video with as many people as possible so that they can understand and see the deceptive ways of the anti-2A lobby and their politicians. And be sure to like, share, and subscribe, and click the subscribe button. And then click the bell, and then it'll drop.
All right, so that was Colonel Noir. He's definitely one of my favorite 2A advocates. And Robert, that one was for you, all about your governor and what she's been doing. So I'm going to let you comment first before others speak up. I'm sure that others are going to want to speak up too.
I was just reading an article in Opinion Post, and they were talking, this was just, I think yesterday it came out, says, according to the New Mexico Shooting Sports Association, the governor wants to bring forward the following during the upcoming 30-day session, and it lists almost everything that he talked about, the semi-automatic rifle ban model after the failed federal proposal from Senator Heinrich, which is from here, New Mexico, banning the carrying of firearms in parks, playgrounds, and near polling places, and she wants to make that permanent. Raising the age limit to purchase the firearms to 21, the 14-day waiting period, which is stupid because criminals get their guns, they don't have to wait. expanding New Mexico's red flag gun confiscation law. Well, there you go. She's working on getting law-abiding citizens to have their guns confiscated by the government and making it easier to sue gun manufacturers and retailers. And that's all coming in the next 30 days. So somebody should shoot her between the eyes.
let's not do that, Robert. Hold on. Let me get in before everybody else, because I think I know everybody's position on this. You're going to talk about the Second Amendment. There's a little more here than even that story is given. So I started looking into New Mexico and its governor. So she has a program for detention for juveniles, and she's adding this gun factor to it. So it's like a first strike thing where they're sending kids to juvenile detention to be locked up. They're doing just straight up, you know, zero tolerance. You're going to juvenile immediately, first offense. Then I'm finding that they were testing the wastewater in public high schools in order to figure out, in their mind, to figure out about drug use. And then they're making claims about cocaine usage and heroin usage and all these other things by testing the wastewater. Meanwhile, testing water by that size, like that amount of water, you wouldn't be able to tell use by any individual or any group based on testing wastewater. Like, this is some crazy stuff she's got going on. So New Mexico is now third in gun mortality. So they got a huge drug problem, huge gun problem going on as far as people getting shot. Yep. I guess some kids got shot. And that's how she was able to get so much space to operate. But, yeah, this lady sounds like a disaster, man. But not for the reasons I think most of the people on this show are going to talk about, the gun stuff. This other stuff is a little more far-reaching. This is, this is how you get a prison, school-to-prison pipeline right here, these things she's talking about, where you don't give kids the ability to change or improve themselves, and you're doing things like testing the fucking water in high schools. For like, that is insane. So, yeah.
That's stupid. Yeah,
there's a lot to this, lady.
Well, you know, that's how they determined a lot of their COVID statistics, too. You know, they were testing the wastewater for COVID to get an idea of how prevalent COVID was, you know, sarcastically.
But
so they're
like
using the same
method. But,
for, like, testing for drugs and all that kind of stuff, too, in the wastewater.
Yeah.
Right, but that can be directionally right, but it's not right enough for you to actually do anything about it. So it's like if somebody told you tomorrow Josh Allen's going to throw, man, he's going to throw so many touchdowns. You're like, well, how many is so many? Three is a lot to some people. Six is a lot to some people. It's directionally accurate, but it's not accurate enough to give you good information. Sorry for cutting in for that last part.
Nash. I'm actually in agreement with you in a lot of respects in that way. But what I think that's what it will do is, like, let's say, okay, the wastewater from a certain school has more drugs in it, and so therefore, how about justifying kind of like sobriety checks for schools, you know, where they start just doing like random drug tests because, you know, the wastewater from this school shows a higher than normal amount of drugs in the wastewater. And so therefore we should start randomly testing students in school for drugs. And then, like you were saying, let's start this, you know, this prison vicious cycle with kids, and, you know, and it's just like an open door kind of a thing to get more kids in prison, feed that prison bureaucracy that's going on. That's actually a source of very, very cheap, if like pennies on the dollar, labor. And it's a source of revenue as well, with all the fines and everything. And then you can charge more kids as adults because, you know, if you're doing a high school, and we have this bizarre notion of charging 16-year-olds as adults, you know, it just starts that, you know, prison pipeline, like Naj was saying. Like, you can see all of the, you know, control measures. This is a psychological ploy, you know, in the works here to justify even more tyranny going well beyond 2A and into other things. Okay, I'll shut up now and let others speak. But, yeah, I just wanted to
say this
on
is
that.
So.
One of the things, tell me it's not true.
How do you know the kid didn't take the drugs at his home?
I'm saying.
Well, you know, one of the things that's going on here is that the state is actually swinging more to the right, and the governor sees it. And here in Albuquerque, which is the biggest city in New Mexico, she's got a clone of herself in the mayorship here in Albuquerque with Mayor his name just slipped, a Keller or whatever, and he follows her everything that she does. But it's starting to look like they're not going to stay in office, so they're trying to push all of this stuff while they're still in office.
Yes, because as we know, it's a lot easier to implement it than it is to take it away.
Yep.
Well, if she passed a bill that's go against the U.S. Constitution, it's not going to stand anyway. And if I drive through New Mexico and I'm subjected to some of those unconstitutional laws, well, then that's going to bring up some lawsuits.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Oh, God.
But that's what they're banking on, though, because those laws will basically be in effect pretty much, you know, unless judges say, okay, you are not allowed to implement this law pending appeal or whatever, you know. So that's what they bank on, too, is because, you know, it's a kind of long process to actually bring a case to the Supreme Court, and it's a very expensive one, and that's what they bank on.
Yep.
What are you talking about? What are you guys even talking about? Seriously. Really?
Yep.
I back prisons. I think prisons are a good thing. People need to be rehabilitated. I need to make some money, and everybody's happy, right? So, yeah, lock them up. Yeah, lock everybody up. I don't give a fuck what it's for. But here's the problem. Most of these people are getting fucked and don't know they're being fucked because they're stupid and retarded like me. So we're all members of the same club. But I caught on to the bullshit. Here's the deal. Most of these money-sucking systems that you see, like highway robbery, if they pull you over and you got over 10 grand or something like that on your over 1,000, they can take it and seize it and maybe take your use it for drug money, and they don't arrest you for nothing. They let you go. But they take the money. You got to fight to get it back. So, you know.
Unless you're a drug dealer, then you're going to keep going. You're going to be lucky.
You'll never be touched. But anyway, you know, I've seen this happen a lot of times. My people overdoing the research on the fact of that. And same thing, like going to court. I've been to court many times for over 40 years now. And, you know, not saying on me, but other cases. You know, I'm not me. I mean, well, I am a criminal, but hey, this is my fucking thing I like. I like being a criminal. Anyway, the thing is, man, the simple fact of this, people give consent to these people to fuck them. They give it up. They do it. They give it up, man. It's what it is. Nobody seems to understand this. When you go into court and you plead not guilty, you are claiming that you are a party to a contract. It ain't a fucking law. It's a rule by the corporation called the United States. That's how it all begins. And everybody else jumped on the bandwagon. So now the government, since they took us to the boards of the state anyway, the state did, and the federal government has to pay for us. For uptake care thing, you know, like sorry, the Department of Agriculture that gives you food stamps. Why would the Department of Agriculture is about, you know, livestock and grain give you money to feed you? Does that mean that you're fucking livestock? Yeah, you are.
Absolutely, you fucking are. And don't even know it. Sad, isn't it? But the gospel of the whole thing is you live by fucking rules. You don't live by laws. And that's how they got you. That's how they're fucking you.
Yeah.
Out of every goddamn nickel. Any nickel they can get out of you, they're going to come to fuck you. You know, cops don't show up there before it ever happens. How many motherfucking shooting makes you know that are dead? The cop was there to serve and protect. He wasn't. So, you know, it goes on. The whole thing is the illusion of believing that shit's right. But you got it when you come to the reality I just said, you know, you're guilty until proven innocent. That's a fact. Next time I go to court, I'm going to ask you, judge fair, how much money do you want? Why do you guys always got me hearing some bullshit? You're going to fuck me out of some money. So how much do you want to call this quits? You know what I mean? Make your speed sit up a lot faster that way, don't you think? When you go to court, just ask how much money you fucking want. Got to fuck off some lawyers. But that's about the way it is. Anyway, I got a couple people in Mixler having hard time listening. I think they hear the show, but I don't know. Anyway, but you see my point. It's simply these are rules, man. These ain't laws. You know, when did driving become a privilege? When the fuck did you become a slave to get a privilege? Who the fuck owns you to give you a privilege? So we have owners to give us a privilege? And then we got to pay for that privilege?
Yeah, you know, bring up a good point because a lot of the gun control advocates try to equate gun ownership and requirements for gun ownership to be like driving a car. Well, if you're going to have a gun, then it should be like
it's
having a car.
Privilege.
You should get licensed. You should have to register, all this other
stuff.
And then my argument
is,
you know what? The Constitution didn't guarantee your right to own a horse and buggy either. The point is invalid.
You know? But you know
the
what the Constitution did
give you the right to own a horse and buggy?
But you know what it did say.
That.
Laurie and sweetheart.
But they try to apply that
you know
same logic to guns.
The Constitution said it's one little thing, said you have the right to fucking travel. Didn't say how you did it. So there you go. It's a fucking right. It's not a privilege. But
well,
a lot of people believe
travel,
it.
But
people are told that.
Having a car isn't a right. You know, yeah, you can travel, but having a horse and buggy
it's possession.
Wasn't a
right. It's your
you know?
Yeah, it's a right. You have the right to own a possession.
You can travel
you got
by
that.
Train. You can walk. You can use other means besides horse and buggy. You know what I mean?
You
have the right to travel, but didn't guarantee you the right to a horse and buggy either, or to regulate how many horses you have, how they're hitched up, with the materials that you use for the reins, you know, like none of that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they want to regulate guns like they regulate cars. And, you know, it's and horse and buggies and stuff. They want to equate the same thing. And it's like these are two totally separate arguments. You know, the one thing that the Second
right.
Amendment does is guarantee our right to keep and bear arms. That's what it does.
Right.
It's there from the very beginning, you know. And
right.
so the gunner's argument that we should have insurance and, you know, we should be able to regulate it the same way as driving is a completely invalid argument to make.
Right. Boyd got disconnected from you, and he's in my Mixler chat room. And no, you can't talk to her right now.
Yeah, I know. Mike and Boyd dropped. I don't even know who else is still here.
They can still hear you. They can still hear you. I mean, I can translate between you both, but you know. Anyway,
I wish you could integrate them into it, you know, like integrate your
I wish I could.
With,
well,
bring
the
them
thing
into
is, I'm grabbing you. I'm grabbing you to me. It's you to me instead of me to you. You know what I mean? There's a, you know, difference. But I'm just broadcasting your show on my show, on my platform, the system I have.
Cool.
In other words, it's my show, but it's your show. You're doing it. I'm suddenly simulcasting
so
my
we're
system.
We're still capturing no man's land, even though it's on your Mixler.
Right, 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 right. Plus BTO. Well, yeah, it's recorded now, but on mine. But
you know, you mentioned earlier about how the cops will, you know, pull you over if you got large
sums of money, you got, they'll take it, and then you've got to come back and prove that it was legal. You know, if you're just carrying a whole bunch of cash, that what they're looking for is that drug dealer that ain't coming back, you know, or something like that. But for you to come back, if you just got a lot of cash, you know, it's hard to prove that why you got a lot of cash. But if you do got a lot of cash, it takes a lot of cash to legally go through the process of getting your money back.
Right.
So it's created a business. I know I talked to a guy years ago that was he moved equipment around.